Tune in every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, with John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Learn how we the people are holding the system accountable with common law grand juries across the nation. John will be taking questions from the Shake and Wake radio chat room, or you can Skype or call in. Visit NationalLibertyAlliance.org for more information. Every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org on ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
All right, good evening, everybody.
And now, your host, John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Sorry, John.
Thank you, Rick. That's okay. We'll get it better as we go on. Matter of fact, we should get together and, make this harmonize right. Anyway, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's open forum. Today is Monday, August 18th. It's not August 18th, is it? It's 25th. Yeah, August 25th, 2014. And like usual, we're going to start our first lifting up the Lord. And so we got some Bible verses to look at. And the focus of tonight's Bible verses is on humility. Ultimately, it's on honor. I've been studying that in the Bible lately, and the Lord has made it clear, without humility you cannot have honor. Honor requires humility first. So let's take a look at that. There is no honor without humility. In Proverbs chapter 15, we read in verse 31 through 33, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Again, in Proverbs 18:12, we read, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." In Proverbs 22:3-5, we read, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. Proverbs 29:22, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." In James chapter 4, we read in verse 1, "From whence come wars and fighting amongst you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and ye shall be lifted up. All right, just a couple more verses here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. If I shut up heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people. By the way, you know, the idea of shutting down the rain and sending locusts is shutting down the gospel, not bringing God's word. And this is the problem with America today. We have not been listening to God. And that's what, you know, here at the National Liberty Alliance, we come together across this nation trying to build a common law grand jury, which is under common law, which is synonymous with natural law. They're one and the same. And you cannot have natural law. You cannot have the law of God without his word. You know, they're one and the same. So because we have turned away from him is exactly why we, the people, have been cursed. And our courts are courts of injustice. And in order to bring them back to courts of justice, we have to turn back to God. So again, he says, you know, if he shuts up the heavens that there be no rain, or if he commands the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among the people, it is God that does these things. And that's the curse and not the blessing. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heavens and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And that's exactly what we, the people, need to be doing. That's exactly why we lift up the Lord every Monday before we get started. Like I said, a couple of more verses here. Matthew 18, verse 1. Then the disciples came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Truly I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And finally, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So, humility. Without humility, we cannot have honor. And the three things we make a big point about as often as possible is that we have to develop a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. Without such, we cannot have a common law in the courts. And so, therefore, in order to have honor, we must have humility. Okay, we're going to spend some time here looking at some paperwork we filed today. This is the paperwork we've been working on since, it's been ready since August 1st, but we have rewritten it since August 1st. We've had some time. I'm kind of glad that it was, again, not by our plan. If it was up to us, we would have had this out the first week of August. Since we were waiting, other things came to mind, and we added a lot to this. We made some major changes in this. And I think we framed it in a lot better way. So again, the fact that we didn't get this thing done the way we planned to get it done, and we didn't get it out till today, I think we have someone else controlling this. But like all our papers, we filed this with a front page called File on Demand. We did add something in here because we've got a little more experience dealing up here in New York. And we put an extra warning on our front page. Let me see if we're going to read. I'm going to read just a paragraph, and I'm just going to quote some of the codes that we have in here. I'm not going to read through the codes. But it starts off, Come now, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, to demand that the clerk perform only ministerial functions, that the clerk not perform any tribunal functions, and that the clerk file the attached. Any clerk who fails to obey the law shall be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Any attorney or judge advising or intimidating clerks to violate the law will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Clerks, attorneys, judges, and other officers of the court are expected to know the law. Clerk is to file. 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076, whoever being a clerk of a district court of the United States or who willfully refuses or neglects to make or forward any report, certificate, statement, or document as required by law shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Now, after that, we have other codes, quoted here. We have U.S. 18 U.S.C. 1512 and also 2071. One is particularly focuses in on concealment and removal, and the other one is on intimidation and threatening. But we did add a statement here, and this is because of something, an experience we had recently, which we had a paper. The papers that we had filed, one file went through, but what they did, you know, we know that they held it up for a while, and then even after they stamped it, which was a late stamp, they still held it up another 7 or 8 days before they actually mailed it back to us. So there was a lot of negotiation going on up there in New York, in Albany here, trying to discover how they can, you know, kind of foil our plan and try to sidestep us. We did a little bit of an investigation, and we called up the clerk who was to file. And we found out from talking to people up in Albany that they filed it as a court case. They did not file it in the way that they were supposed to file it. And I can see, you know, they played this game because we came in under the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury, and we had filed a case under that name, and now we're filing papers, but we're filing it directly with the clerk, and this was their way to get around it. They knew they had to take the file, they knew they had to take it in, and so what they did is they misfiled it. And they claim, well, that's the way we thought it should be, you know, it's a civil case, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, clearly not, it's not. It's a criminal case, and we're not coming in as a court case. We're not asking anybody for anything. And he knew what I was talking about. So then I realized, they said, okay, fine. We're now going to come in and do this filing under Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury with the 50 state seals on it. And, well, actually 49 state seals on it. We sent everything out with 49, and we're going to talk about the 50th in a minute. But so we sent that out, and today, for the first time, and now it's coming to them not as the New York, but as the unified New York, but as the unified United States. They can't misfile that one. And we did put an extra statement. It's called a warning in on the paper. And this paper, by the way, is available up online. Under breaking news, and it's dated for today's date. Today was filed, August 25th, 2014. And the warning says the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has predetermined that misfiling this true bill will result in indictment. So that's a fair warning. And we're going to call this clerk, and we're not going to call this clerk. They're going to file it correctly, and if they don't, then we're going to indict. Now, we did something different here. This is the big one. I really think the time has come. I think we've arrived at that point where everybody in the federal court system throughout the entire United States is going to know, and we're going to get word right up to the United States Supreme Court, because this filing was done in 91 federal district courts, that's what there is throughout the whole United States. There are more courthouses, but each court has one main court within that district, and so we filed in 91 of those district courts. We also filed in 13, I may have that backwards, it may have been 90, I'm not sure it was 90 or 91, but whatever it was, we also filed in 13 appellate courts. So we filed straight to the filing. We also inserted, of course, all this paperwork that we're going to look at right now in the front cover sheet. And we filed this with the court clerk in each one of those district courts as a filing. And it is entitled A True Bill of Information Under Common Law. And, of course, it's set up coming forward through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We also served this upon 972 district court judges, 90 chief court judges, 602 magistrates, and I think it was 206, another group of judges. I forget what that was. That might have been in the appellate courts. And so we the whole thing came to about 1,850, roughly, judges and magistrates. Every single judge, federal judge, and every single federal magistrate in the United States will receive this paper on some of them Tuesday, very few of them Tuesday, most of them Wednesday, and at worst case, the Thursday, every single judge will have it, every court will have it. And I'm going to go through this bill. Like I said, it's different than the original one that we originally set up, although some of the stuff is still in here. And we started off a true bill of information under common law. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of government outside supreme law finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. No higher duty rests upon this court than to exert its full authority to prevent all violations of the principles of the Constitution. And that was a Supreme Court case in Downs versus Bidwell, 1901. And this is the front page of our bill, by the way. And it goes on to say, let this information serve notice to all magistrate judges, patriots, that an evil day has arrived in America, and that all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Therefore obey, and therefore escape tyranny and save the Republic. 18 U.S. Code 2382, misprision of treason. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of the commission of any treason against them conceals and does not, as soon as may be disclosed and make known the same to the President or some judge of the United States or to the governor or to some judge or justice of a particular state is guilty of misprision of treason and shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 7 years or both. Gerard, I think your mic's open. The common law grand jury on behalf of the people of whom custody by virtue of its prerogative is had submits the following facts to the judiciary for action under the command Therefore, be forewarned, silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. Now, that's the front page of our true bill of information under common law. And it reads on. Common law, government's primary directive. To secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Thomas Jefferson, Declaration of Independence. It is the people by the jury that consent to government. To dismiss common law and its grand jury is to dismiss the Bill of Rights and reject our founding documents. The common law grand jury is an unalienable right protected under the law by the Fifth Amendment, common law, which is synonymous with natural law, which can never be codified, supplanted. Common law is our American heritage, born of the Declaration of Independence, ordained in eternity by God. Any attempt to subvert this action by the people to jurisdictions unknown is high treason. In a stunning 6-3 decision, U.S. versus William, 1992, that went virtually unnoticed until now, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, said, "The grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between the government and the people. The common law of the Fifth Amendment demands a traditional functioning grand jury. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered too directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights." Now, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this, but on the front page of this true bill of information under common law, we went out and bought a rubber stamp that says copied, Supreme Court Justice Anton Scalia. So every paper that went out to every judge in every court knows that their boss has been copied this page. They also know that it went out to every court, and they also know it went out to every judge. So they have to be worried about what the other guy is going to do. But let me read on. Our founding fathers thereby created a buffer the people may rely upon for justice when public officials, including judges, criminally violate the law. Thus, citizens have the unbridled right to impanel their own grand juries and present true bills of indictment to the court, which is then required to commence a criminal proceeding. And that's the law. Grace of God, not men. Our founding fathers, by the grace of God, found these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Therefore, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to themselves and their posterity, they did ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. But we became distracted, and we lost our way, and the enemy of liberty rooted itself within But we became distracted and we lost our way, and the enemy of liberty rooted itself within and turned justice into injustice, tranquility into turmoil, safety into danger. America has become an occupied nation, incapable of defending itself from enemies foreign and domestic, and the blessings of liberty are replaced by the curse of slavery. A constitution based on common law under the principles of virtue, not the decrees of men. In Article 6, we made clear the supreme law of the land that every judge in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Because men's rights are unalienable, the people can never give them up, neither for themselves nor their posterity. Therefore, all fiction is without merit and an insult upon God and the very foundation of American justice. An unconstitutional act is not law. It confers no right. It imposes no duty. It affords no protection. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplation as inoperative as though it had never been passed. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. We, the people, need not the approval of our servants to take up our power and secure our nation. We, the people, need not the permission of our servants to impanel our own grand juries, to file true bills of information or presentments. We reject the arrogance of those who believe or assume we do, for they will find no mercy when the wrath of the people in our courts of justice... Let me reread that part. We reject the arrogance of those who believe or assume we do, for they will find no mercy from the wrath of the people in our courts of justice. We, the people, are the authority. Statutory courts holding fiction over the law of the land are without the authority of the people, and therefore their actions are acts of subversion against the United States of America and acts of treason against the people. War. To war against the common law jurisdiction is to war against the Constitution of the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, Magna Carta, and the Holy Bible. Such an action would be treason. In Cohen v. Virginia, in 1821, we read, "We judges have no more right to decline and exercise the jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution." Duty to protect against invasion. Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state of this Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion. All judges are duty-bound to obey by oath. Article 6. This Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made by which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in this Constitution or the laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. The Constitution for the United States of America defines the only lawful jurisdiction. Article 3, Section 1, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and or establish. Article 3, Section 2, the judicial powers shall extend to all cases in law and equity rising out of this Constitution. People's Court. We the people gave authority to the Congress to create district courts of the United States, also known as Article 3, inferior courts to the one Supreme Court. In the case U.S. versus Burroughs, and matter of fact, this has been repeated in quite a few cases, but we'll just leave it at that one. The words district court of the United States commonly describe constitutional courts created under Article 3 of the Constitution, not the legislative courts, which have long been the courts of the territories. You see, the courts of the territories, it seems, has been around maybe even before the Constitution. I'm not too sure about that. But apparently they're saying that there is a difference between these Article 3 courts that are called district courts of the United States. The only judicial power we, the people, gave to the federal government are under the law and equity. And it is expected that when the people visit their courts for justice, they are entering into common law courts of record. People have the unalienable right of an impartial grand jury, a speedy and a public trial by an impartial jury, not to be a witness against themselves, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States. Article 3, Section 2. The trial of all crimes, except in cases of impeachment, shall be by jury. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, nor shall they be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against themselves, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And then Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. Amendment 7. In suits of common law where the value of the controversy shall exceed $20, the right of a trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Lysander Spooner, Trial by Jury, 1852. Any government that is its own judge of and determines authoritarily for the people what its own powers are over the people is an absolute government, of course. It has all powers that it chooses to exercise. There is no other or at least no more accurate definition of despotism than this. Article 4, Section 3 gives no power to the legislators that would create an anti-constitutional court. As anti-constitutionalists, here in after called progressives, would have us believe, operating within the 50 United States. The only purpose of these courts are to fleece the people. Progressives deceitfully seize the name of these courts as United States District Courts, thereby creating a foreign court, which is a fictitious corporation used to conceal fraud. Article 4, Section 3, Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. Hubbard versus Ammerman, the United States District Courts have only such jurisdiction as conferred by an act of Congress under the Constitution. Graves versus Sneeds, the United States District Courts are not courts of general jurisdiction. They have no jurisdiction except as prescribed by Congress, pursuant to Article 3 of the Constitution. Jones versus Jones. A court of record is a judicial tribunal having attributes and exercising functions independently of the persons of the magistrate, designed generally to hold it, and proceeding according to the course of common law, its acts and proceeding being enrolled for a perpetual memorial. Ex parte Watkins 3 Peter, the judgments of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is conclusive, and all the world as the judgment of this court would be. This is the United States Supreme Court speaking. It is as conclusive on all the courts as it is on other courts. It puts an end to the inquiry concerning the facts by deciding it. No United States Supreme Court can overturn or overrule the decision of any trial, jury, or grand jury anywhere in the United States unless they have injured someone by violating their unalienable rights. But once a decision is made, they cannot overturn it. They cannot change it. That's pretty much what this is saying. And there are other court cases that say the same thing. Federal judges do not have discretionary powers in courts of law. Their positions are that of magistrate. They are not the tribunal. A written decision by a district judge proves it is not to be a court of record. The operating of a deceptive United States district courts, not of record, under the guise of courts of law, on the soil of the 50 United States of America is a conspiracy to overthrow the United States of America. The epitome of RICO, in violation of 18 U.S. Code 1962, a direct violation of Article 4, Section 4, and Article 6, Paragraph 2. Whereas the duty of magistrates and judges are to uphold the common law, to guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government, and protect each of them against invasion. Instead, progressive legislators committed high treason, and any magistrate judge that upholds such an unholy alliance with said traitorous legislators would be guilty of the same and have no immunity. Any magistrate or judge that does not act now to save the republic or remain silent is a co-conspirator and guilty of high treason. The 50 United States are geographically within the District of Columbia as fiction. The United States are not geographically within the District of Columbia as fiction would have us to believe, have some belief. We the people are not a commodity, merchandise, or cattle as fiction would have some believe. We the people are not subjects or indentured servants of the fictional United States as fiction would have some believe. The brick-and-mortar buildings that house the inferior federal courts of the one Supreme Court throughout the Union belong to the people. Said courts were ordained and established by Congress under the authority of the people. We, the people, paid to build them, to keep them, to furnish them, to man them, to pay the salaries of all the elected or appointed or hired personnel in them. These courts are district courts of the United States that were hijacked by progressives operating as United States district courts. And the awakening people are now rising to take back our courts and our republic. U.S. Code 132 defines the creation of a district court as courts of record, and therefore under common law. 28 U.S. Code, subsection 132, creation and composition of a district court. There shall be in each judicial district a court which shall be a court of record, known as the United States District Court for the district. This is very interesting because the court that they claim to be the corporate body under a corporate charter, they call it the United States District Court. And it is true in the Constitution, it refers to it in a different way. But here the code turns it right back into a common law court and makes it a court of record. By calling it a court of record, it becomes a common law court. So they're stuck either way by whatever name they use. It's irrelevant. The fraud is a fraud, and it has no power. Decency, security, and liberty alike demand that magistrates and judges be subjected to the same rules of conduct that are commanded to the people. In a court of laws, existence of the court will be imperiled if it fails to observe the law scrupulously. Crime is contagious. If magistrates and judges become lawbreakers, it breeds contempt for the law, invites every man to become a law unto himself. And against that pernicious document, we the people have resolutely set our face. Therefore, we command all magistrates and judges to obey the law of the land and uphold justice, or face the serious legal consequences that is arising from the people through the unified common law grand juries, now constituted in every county of the 49 states, totaling 3,034 of the 3,142 counties within the 50 states and rising. A verified copy under seal of this true bill of information via United States Post Office has been filed in all federal district trial courts in the 50 United States, in all federal appellate courts in the 50 United States, and sent to all federal judges and magistrates in 50 United States for action concerning the aforesaid high crimes and misdemeanors committed by the state and federal magistrate judges. We, the tribunal, under seal, and our own authority, secured by the contract, the Fifth Amendment, common law, move the judges and magistrates of the district courts and Supreme Court Justice Anton Scalia to perform enforcement through a writ of mandamus, see attached, necessary to end tyranny and reinstate law and order, thereby directing all federal judges, all federal, state, county, city, town, and village judges and magistrates, court clerks, county clerks, county sheriffs, the United States Marshals to enjoin the people as follows. All magistrate judges are to obey the law of the land, i.e., common law, specifically defined in the Constitution for the United States of America, Article 6, Clause 2. All federal, state, county, city, town, village judges, magistrates are to obey under penalty of 18 U.S. Code 2071, law of the land, and are not to conceal, remove, mutilate any record, proceeding, paper, document, or other thing filed with the court clerk or county clerk by the common law grand jury. All federal, state, county, city, town, and village judges, magistrates are to obey under penalty of 18 U.S. Code 1512, law of the land, are not to alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal an object that intend to impair the object's integrity or availability for use of an official proceeding, or intimidate, threaten, or corruptly persuade another person to withhold a record, document, or other object from an official proceeding, or obstruct, influence, or impede any official proceeding. All clerks under penalty of 18 U.S. Code 2071, law of the land, are not to conceal, remove, mutilate any record, proceeding, paper, document, or other thing filed with the court or county. All clerks under penalty of 18 U.S.C. 2076, law of the land, are to file and not to refuse or neglect or to make forward any report, certificate, statement, or document as required by law. The sheriff took an oath to support and defend the Constitution for the United States of America. Consequently, as per Article 6, Clause 2, the laws of the United States are to be obeyed. Therefore, upon a sworn affidavit and or seal of the Fifth Amendment Common Law Grand Jury concerning violations by judges, clerks of 18 U.S. Codes 2071, 1512, 2071, 2076, or any other law of the United States of America are to arrest the same for said offenses. Should sheriffs fail to perform this duty upon a sworn affidavit and under seal of the Fifth Amendment Common Law Grand Jury concerning said violations, the U.S. Marshal shall arrest the sheriff and the undersheriff shall perform said duties in his place. Quoting the case of the United States versus Williams, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, said, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the court, over whose functioning the courts do not preside, no supervisory judicial authority exists. Rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee of the government between the government and the people. Although the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse under judicial auspices, its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, at arm's length. Recognizing the tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment's constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge, giving the grand jury's operational separateness from its constitutional court. It should come to no surprise that we have been reluctant to invoke the judicial supervisory power as a basis for prescribing modes of grand jury procedure, and the grand jury is unfettered by technical rules. Judges, clerks, or anyone else are not to prevent, obstruct, or interfere with the people's access into the courts in order for the people to operate in the courthouse under judicial auspices for the administration of the common law grand juries. Common law juries. The truth be known, experience has shown, if we were to indict and thereby remove from office all magistrates, judges that are not in good behavior, we suspect very few magistrates or judges would survive. Therefore, let this true bill of information also serve as an olive branch to all the federal judges, and let it be known that we are not concerned with your past sins. We are not on a witch hunt. Our only desire is to save the Republic and preserve the blessings of liberty. Our only requirement is that you obey this order and the law of the land from this point forward, and together we will move forward and refound our American heritage. If you refuse, we the people will move towards an indictment and thereby remove from office every magistrate judge that continues in silence and does not act. You have 7 days from the date of this true bill to act or face the wrath of we the people, from which there will be no mercy. It surely will come. Duty requires it. We promise. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, stewards of the common law, on behalf of the people, in the interest of justice, order all recipients of this information to sign and seal the attached mandamus immediately and mail it to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, P.O. Box 59, Valhalla, New York, so on. Signed and sealed August 25th, 2014. Now, there, of course, there's quite a few, footnotes in this paper, and I didn't read them. And behind this, you got the press sealed right here and the signed and sealed. And behind that, we have 49 of the state seals that have already constituted. We also have a copy of the writ of mandamus. I'll try to read that real quickly. It's only 2 pages. And this is the writ of mandamus that we're expecting them to sign as a place for them to fill up on the top for the letterhead. And it goes, the United States District Court for whatever district of whatever state orders all state, county, city, town, village, judges, clerks, county sheriffs to obey the law of the land. Article 4, Clause 2, the Constitution for the United States, which shall be made and pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, of which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. The United States Constitution guarantees to every state in this Union and the people thereof a constitutional republican form of government that the judiciary and all oath takers must obey. Therefore, all state, county, city, town, and village judges, court clerks, county sheriffs, and United States marshals are so ordered as follows. 1. All state, county, city, town, village judges are to obey the law of the land specifically defined in Article 4, Clause 2. 2. All state, county, city, town, village judge are to obey under penalty of 18 U.S. Code 2071, law of the land, are not to conceal, remove, mutilate, or misfile any record, proceeding paper, document, or anything filed with the court or county, or court or clerk or county clerk. 3. All state, city, town, village judges are to obey penalty under penalty of 18 U.S.C. 1512, law of the land, not to alter or destroy. We've said this a few times through the paper, so I'll skip that. But if they can't take it out, they can't prevent it from going forward. 4. All clerks under penalty of 182071, law of the land, and not to conceal, again, or mutilate, or intimidate, and so on. And 2076, again, they must forward the reports and make them go forward. Number 6. Sheriffs took an oath to support and defend the United States Constitution. Consequently, as per Article 4, Clause 2, the laws of the United States are to be obeyed. Therefore, upon a sworn affidavit and or under the seal of the Fifth Amendment Common Law Grand Jury concerning violations by judges and clerks under all the codes that we've already went through, I'm not going to read all those numbers, or any other law of the 50 United States of America ought to be arrested for the same for said offenses. 7. Should the sheriff fail to perform his duties upon a sworn affidavit and under seal or under seal of the Fifth Amendment Common Law Grand Jury concerning these said violations, the United States Marshal shall arrest the sheriff, and the undersheriff shall perform said duties in sheriff's stead. Number 8. Finally, the grand jury is an institution separate from the court over whose functioning the courts do not preside. No supervisory judicial authority exists. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right, belonging to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer, a referee between the government and the people. The grand jury operates in the courthouse and under judicial auspices, operating at arm's length from the judicial branch. The Fifth Amendment's constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either a prosecuting attorney or judge unfettered by technical rules. Therefore, judges and clerks have no authority to prevent, obstruct, or interfere with the people's access into the courts in order to operate in the courthouse for the administration of the common law juries. And then it has so ordered in a judge, and it has the entered place for the entered, the dated, and the signature of the judge, and the seal of the court, and that's page 2 of the affidavit that we expect for them to sign. Now, we sent this out again, like I said, to almost 2,000 judges and to 103 courts, and all the chief judges. I think there was 206 of them, and all the magistrates. So I gotta believe that some of these are gonna have no problem signing this paper and send it in. We also copied, as I mentioned earlier, to Scalia. And that should intimidate them, like I said. He's going to get a copy of this. I'm going to mail his out tomorrow, probably. I might write a cover letter with this. I've been thinking about that, but I don't know yet. And we'll get that out to him tomorrow. So he should have it by Wednesday, Thursday also. And the pressure's on at this point. One of the things judges hate is something on the record. Well, we just put the fact that they are at war against the people of the United States of America. And we put that on record in every district court across this nation. And we also serve notice to every single judge. There is no excuse. They are guilty of treason if they do not act to save the United States of America. That's pretty much what this paper says. And they must obey the law. And I gotta believe that Scalia is gonna be watching this now and make sure they behave. And I gotta believe they're frightened when they get this because they realize Judge Joe got it, and Mary and Fred and Mike and all these guys got it, and some of them are guys that have or women that have conscience and kind of do the right thing, and they know they're gonna do the right thing. I gotta believe there's some of them out there. I've heard that there are. Haven't met them, but I heard they are out there. But they don't know. The right hand does not know what the left hand is doing. And that in itself should give them fear. The fear of the unknown. The fear, should I go forward? Should I sign this thing? Or should I not sign this thing? What's everyone else? That judge can't call all 1,900 judges up, nor can he check with every court to see if they filed it. And you got to believe they did. And we sent also an envelope for them to send back a copy of the front page stamp with the date file on it. And so we'll be looking for those papers to start returning. I would think they should start returning probably next week sometime. I don't think they're going to act very quickly. They're going to take the 7 days, and the 7 days starts today. So that's 5 days plus a weekend. So Monday they need to have their papers in the mail to us. So I got to think that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday we should be getting some mail. And we know that they were frightened of putting papers into the files. We know that the federal court knows they have to file them. And if they can find a place to file them and not in the right place, they'll do so. But we caught them already. We found out what they did. We're coming with a different name. By the way, this is the first time we're acting under the seal of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury with 49 seals behind it. The one we're going to send out to Scalia is going to have the 50th seal because we're going to send that out on Wednesday, and that's when the final state comes on board. We will have all 50 states this Wednesday. I did talk with a few people who talked to people that are in that state. They're very committed in getting this done, so they'll be done on Wednesday. We'll take them at their word. So we're going to put that final seal on Wednesday, and we're going to get this out to Scalia. And I think this is ground zero. I think this is it. This is what we've been working for quite some time. Now is the time to really start getting the people to watch, to pay attention, to find out what's going on. Now, there are other things happening. There's way too much going on to get into all the details, but there's big things happening in Tennessee, which we'll cover. We haven't got all the paperwork on that. We did have our meeting for potential indictments on that, so we did go forward with the necessary indictments. It looks like we have no choice but to indict the judge out there. We definitely agreed on indicting the prosecutor, and we also agreed to indict anyone else that had really did something that got into the way of this case. And we'll talk about that next Monday. and we'll get the details of what the judge said. I've got secondhand information. I'm waiting for affidavits to get to me so that we can know for sure this is what that judge said. And really, he said he doesn't want to hear no more about this. I'm not sure exactly how he said it. Gerard, do you remember how we were told he said that? Well, Andrew's going to be coming up first.
He was sick and tired of hearing about the Constitution in his court. He didn't want to hear it anymore.
In an open court, he said that. That's an indictment. There's no getting away from that, okay? That's a judge who's in misbehavior. He's in bad behavior. He's got to go. I was planning and hoping that we would just have to go through the foreman and let the threat rest on the rest of them, that they better start doing the right thing and let them know we're investigating and we're watching. But I don't think we have a choice now. Because if that's true and we get that down on affidavits, then there's no way to get away from that. An indictment must go forward with that. Or shall we call it a presentment? And by the way, a presentment is the same thing as an indictment, but a presentment emanates from the will of the people from the grand jury, where the indictment comes when it's brought before them by the prosecutor. But nevertheless, they're both true bills, and they end up being the same thing. They indict the person. That's the end result in both cases. So that's one thing. There's a lot of stuff going on in Florida, too. I got a little bit of a briefing tonight. I don't feel confident to get into the details yet. I'm waiting for paperwork to catch up with it. And I think we'll be having a meeting tomorrow night to discuss more details of what's going on in Florida. It looks like some pretty good stuff going on down there. Same pressures are applying. There is the pressure of what we are doing that is moving across the nation. It has funneled up to some of the places, especially in the federal courts, but it's also coming to play in the courts, I think, in the state court out in Tennessee and the state court over there in Florida. And so they're catching the wind. They're seeing it. The people are coming, and they're seeing it. And now it's up to the people here in this room and the people that are listening to this message today, whether it's through our process here on nationallibertyalliance.org or if it's going through Shake and Wake Radio. Now is the time to stand. Now is the time to take back America. But remember, you know, again, if we don't come in honor, we don't come with mercy and justice. And we have to have humility to bring those things forward. You know, when you get something from the store or something or anything, a product you buy or a car, you know, we built cars or we built machines, you get an instruction manual with it. Well, mankind came with an instruction manual, and the creator of that is God. And the instruction manual is the Bible. And clearly God tells us that, you know, that you cannot be honorable. You cannot have true honorability without having humility. And that's what the instruction manual says. And that's why we brought that up tonight. Because one of
John,
the things we lack and that we really want to be on focus with is humility. Yes, Rick?
I had a question from the chat room, and I'd also like to invite all the listeners that are most likely listening to the player at National Liberty Alliance. .org. I was looking at the chat room. There's five people in the chat room, and two of them are Annie and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, man, John's got a lot of followers. And she goes over and checks out the stream data, which is like couple hundred people listening. And, you know, people can come over to shakeandwakeradio.com and meet one another and talk in the chat room, and they can listen to your show and stuff and, you know, talk about what you're talking about and everything, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it just goes to show you that, you know, what you think you see in front of you isn't obviously the case, because I was like, wow, John's huge. There's like six people in here tonight. The other night there was like 20. And so she goes and checks the stats and saw that there was, you know, over way more than 100 people, and it was growing and all. So
yeah, we have like people we have people listening on our site. We also have right now 158 callers, and you know, more people come on board as it gets a little later. We usually end up at the whole night, you know, about 400 callers, 450, somewhere around there.
The question that I had from the chat, actually, I've got two. Elaine C. wanted to know, I mean, this doesn't really apply to the law, but she wanted to know what you think about a baby child being baptized when they don't really have the consciousness to make the decision to give their life to God.
Well, that's I think that's a Saturday question. You know, we don't want to get into that here. So tell them about the Saturday radio program at 7 p.m., and we will get into that kind of a question.
7 p.m. on Shake and Wake Radio. John, 7 p.m. Eastern on ShakeandWakeRadio.com. The Word, it's an online Bible study followed by a roundtable and call-in. And John, for those of you who don't know, was a Bible instructor for about 30 years. And the reason he's involved with common law, God's law, is because of his calling. And he's like one of the most wonderful people. I'm nominating him for sainthood. And we also have another host who got arrested today for something that's not, like, real serious, but he wants to try to go to court and see if he can use common law to get them to
have him come to our Thursday program, discussing the details of law.
Yeah, I told him, call in on Thursday night when you take calls. And I'm also going to send him that, what's that guy that we play? I played three of his one-hour. Carl Miller. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you got anybody out there, you know, if there was one guy you could listen to and pause it and write down what he says and what he said to where you could walk in and just read off a piece of paper word for word, that's probably the guy you might want to copy. And if
Carl Miller, just so you know, he's a constitutional guy, and he lays it out very, very, very nicely. But you want to combine him with a court of record, what he has to say coming in with a court of record, and that brings you to Bill Thornton. And we have all those videos and audios up on nationallibertyalliance.org. Under common law, and
a lot of what it says, as I hear you say, like the Nisi Prius, what do you call it again?
Nisi Prius.
Nisi Prius, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's take our first caller here. If you have someone over in the text chat in your place, just let me know. But we'll go back and forth. And we're going to try to move along. I mean, we don't have that many callers in the queue right now, but usually they start to build up as we go. But when we do come to midnight tonight, we're going to be Rick's going to be leading us out a few minutes before midnight, and so we're going to be ending right at midnight, right a few minutes before midnight. So we're going to try to get through the calls. Gerard, if I take too long, push me along with the callers, okay? anyway, before we take callers, Gerard, do you have anything you want to pipe in about any of this stuff? We were talking about this earlier and different things, and you know, the psychology that must be going on in the minds of some of these judges. I don't know if you want to comment on any of that.
Well, you know, I think you did a good job, and certainly we have to sit back and maybe strategize on what we're thinking about, and I'm sure that after this goes out...
Get closer to your mic.
Oh, this is his headset. It's not coming in good, huh?
It's horrible.
Really?
Go back to the old.
You paid a lot of money for this new fractal thing here.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm going to let you go.
You should get one of these. You should get one of these wireless ones. I can't believe it goes 4 or 5 hours. I've never seen one go that long, and I'm on it right now. I think it sounds pretty clear, no?
It's very clear. That's what this is. Yeah. This is a Bluetooth headset.
You always sound great, John.
Yeah, I do have a very good internet connection, that's for sure. But this microphone set I got, I think it cost me $59 or $69, but it's a nice, comfortable headset, wireless. I'll have to get the information. I'll put it out there. I mean, I have bought wireless headsets before and always been disappointed because before you get through your first hour, they go out, you know, and you have to plug them back in. This one goes 4 or 5 hours, no exaggeration. I'll be on this all night, and it works well. All right,
hey,
let me
John,
go to the first.
I switched mics. How does that sound? Better?
Better, yes.
Yeah, okay, so I'll leave that one.
All right, let's go to the first caller. Andrew, you got the mic. Go right ahead. And you're going to give us some info on Tennessee, I believe.
Yeah, I got caught up on some info. Apparently you had asked where Walter was being taken to. From my understanding from David and someone else that was there, because of paperwork that wasn't done properly, he was actually sent back from the prison back to the county to be held because something was wrong with the court papers or something like that. So he's back
in
McMinn.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
so
he's back.
They sent him, what are you telling me, they sent him to the state and then they brought him back?
Yes, the state refused to receive him or something of that matter.
That's good news. You know what that means.
Yeah, the paperwork wasn't proper or something was wrong with the paperwork or the state was not okay with taking him. Now, I've never heard this before, but a prison can refuse to take an inmate for, let's say, a murderer murdered someone in a family and one of the family members works at the prison. They'll not let that prisoner go there, but that's very rare cases.
Well, this is very interesting because now the sheriff's going to be put on to the carpet here because when you do, we're going to be doing it, which we agreed upon. We're going to be sending in a writ of habeas corpus. It's going to be a very powerful writ, and it's going to indict people at the same time. It's going to be followed with or maybe go with an indictment. And they have some they have to answer some questions. And we are going to command the jailer. And in this case now it's the sheriff. What's the sheriff's name out there? Is he a good guy?
I have no idea. Very, very small knowledge about the sheriff, the county out there. I would have to check with David and all them before, but
yeah,
I just want to bring that across because you asked, you'd ask where he went to, and I asked in the room, and they said that the facility where they sent him to for the state refused to accept him, and he was sent back to McMinn County.
Well, I think there's a very strong possibility. The reason why the state refused them is because they're listening in. We know that lawyers, there's a group of lawyers that listen in. They actually record in writing what we're saying here live. What was the name of that place? I think you knew about that. We know that's happening. What is it called?
Bogbo or something like that.
Something like
that. Yeah, whatever that site is. Yeah.
We also know from our last Thursday night call that, you know, there was kind of a little bit of an interview, most likely, that took place. Someone called. I don't know if he was an FBI agent or some kind of an agent or somebody from the courts or something, but the guy clearly was not really one of us, per se. But that's good. He asked good questions. I was happy to hear those questions, and I was glad to answer them, and we answered them in ways that I don't think they expected, because they don't know what we're doing. But, you know, as they learn what we're doing, I'm sure they can't help but seeing that we're doing the right thing, that we are the people. We're not some crazies. We're not, you know, quote-unquote sovereign citizens that, you know, shoot cops or anything of that nature. That's not what we are. We're lawful, abiding people who want our courts back into justice, and that's all we want. We want America back. We want America to be what it should be, and that is ultimately a just society under the rule of the people, and not the progressives that have taken control of this nation. So, but anyway, it very well may be that they got word, and if they got word, they probably refused them for that. That's a good possibility. This is a good sign, maybe, because the pressure is on. And I think, like I say, in the next couple of days, when these letters start hitting, these information start hitting, the pressure is really going to be on. But when you do a writ of habeas corpus, A lot of people have to be notified, all the people involved, and the jailer also has to be notified, and they have to produce the body. We're going to command that body to be produced. And if they don't produce it, then they will be indicted for contempt of court. And that's the way we're going to go with this thing. And so we're going to put the pressure on, and I think we have a very good chance of getting them out of jail. We've done it once. And they waited till the 11th hour, so to speak. Literally, on the morning of the 11th day, the release took place. And that was without using the authority of the grand jury. But they did know that those of us who were putting these papers together was connected with that movement. And the pressure, this was down in New York City, and the pressure on those people was heavy. So I think that had a lot to do with why they let this guy go. Because generally, usually, habeas corpuses don't work, especially if it's not done by a lawyer. I mean, they don't even let it, the lawyers don't even know how to do it if they don't do it, because it's not they want that to go away. But people have done this, and I haven't heard of any cases that really have gotten that through. But I'm sure there are some. I just haven't heard of them. So. I think it was because of where we're at. I think they're getting worried. We are a big movement. We're a huge movement, actually. We got pretty decent amount of active people, but we have lots of people. And literally, you know, tens of thousands of people are watching us. We know that because of our analytical reports. What do they call it? Google Analytics, I think they call it. All right, anything else, Andrew?
No, that was all. I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that, what I had asked. That's all.
Okay. All right, let's take our next caller. 256-812.
Well, hello there. This is Donald. Hi. In Alabama, state administrator.
How you doing, Don? Yep.
Doing good. Hopefully I'll get my jury handbooks pretty soon. I sent off for them.
When did you send out for them?
Last week.
Okay, everything went out today. So, you know, we've gathered maybe the last 3 or 4 days worth of orders, and they all went out today. So second wave, third wave, really,
okay.
Went out today. We're trying to get them out as soon as they come in. You know, we might wait 2 or 3 days to build up the orders and then send them out. But they're on the way.
Okay. It's very imperative that everyone gets these jurist handbooks and hand them out to the oath keepers in their local areas, educate the people in your area, set up meetings, follow through, ask them if they've read the book after you give it to them later, ask them for a meeting date to discuss it. And I also suggest you everyone get a copy of this new true bill you guys just did, too, and put that in your pocket.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would, you know, one of the things you want to have, of course, the jury handbooks. You also want to have a copy of the handbook, the constitutional handbook. And I would say people should have a copy with them of United States versus Williams. Especially, you know, if you get in a situation where you are questioned by the FBI or something, those are good things to have and be able to give copies of those things to those officers, for they are the case. And we did post last week, I think we posted this, an FBI, let's see, what was this? How to talk to the FBI. Yeah, how to address the FBI. It's a short audio. I think it's 8 or 10 minutes long. But it really lays out a good way to deal with these people. We also put up right underneath that a message to law enforcement. So people might want to download that. That's a PDF. You can, you know, print that off and have that with you, too, and that's our position to law enforcement. You know, we're right up front to who we are, what we're doing, and answer their questions.
So. Right. And if you're not capable of ordering them, you can get a friend of yours or a friend of theirs, a friend of a friend, to just copy it off a printer off the website.
Right. One other thing, and this is big, you know, look, we've been asking for money a lot. We have to. We don't have a choice. We have bills to pay. We have things to do. We have a lot more we got to do. And, you know, but right now we're working on the things we said we're working on. We're close to our goal for a lot of that. But we did go on to a program, and we spoke about this last week, I think, Indiegogo, Indiegogo. And and this program is extremely important. I mean, if we can get ourselves on the front page, and we're not on the front page yet, I'm really surprised we haven't had the response that we've asked. Just going out there, hitting the link, and giving a one-time $10 gift to NLA through that program, Indiegogo, that would shoot us up to the top page. And if we get to the top page, people across the entire world will see us. This is a worldwide website, and people really pour a lot of money into some of these programs. And we have a good program trying to save the world. And I think it's a message that will be received very well by these people with Indiegogo. So they do a lot of humanitarian stuff. So please, get out there, those who haven't gotten out there yet, press on the buttons. You know, just go to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, and on the right side, you'll see Lady Liberty with her hands over her face and destruction behind her. Click on that link. You'll go to a page with instructions, and then click on that link to go to Indiegogo. And then we got an 8-minute video up there, and we got information on what we're doing, and press the contribution button and give us $10 and try to keep our ranking, get our rankings up there.
That's right. All of our Facebook friends, you heard them out there, make a little post on your Facebook. Go to Indiegogo and put the link in and help us out.
Right. The Indiegogo link direct is igg.me/AT/NLA. So that's IGG for Indiegogo. .me/AT/NLA for National Liberty Alliance. But again, you know, that link is right on our page. If you click on Lady Liberty, you'll have that link on that page, and it says Help NLA Reach Its Goal. Indiegogo is a website that empowers people to activate the global community to make ideas happen, whereas contributors help people bring their campaign to reality. NLA has posted our campaign in Indiegogo to reinstate common law grand juries across America. So these are the things we need to be doing. Obviously, we need funds to continue and to do the things we have to do, and we need the people now. Now is the time for all hands on deck. We got to get the message out to everybody. Now is the time to activate yourself. Now is the time we need that landslide movement, because this is it. We've got to the place where we've been working at for almost a year and a half now. This is where we were heading. We didn't know exactly how we would get here, but we did have an idea, and we had a really good idea of the path, and we've moved about it a little bit, but we're there now. This is where our eyes have been focused in on for a year and a half to get to. So now's the time to get involved. All right. Anything else?
No, just God bless you and yours, John.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Next caller, 201.
Activate yourself. Now is the time we need that landslide.
How you doing? 201.
Because this is it. We've got to the place where we've been working at for almost a year and a half now. This is where we were heading. We didn't know exactly how we would get here, but we did have an idea. We had a really good idea of the path, and we've moved about it a little bit, but we're there now.
Hello?
Where our eyes have been focused in on for a year.
Let me go to the next one. 678. Go right ahead. 678-326. I guess they had the radio playing in the background. I thought it was me.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. My question is, have any legislators in the various 50 states been contacted to try to get them to introduce grand jury reform through the legislative process? Because I know there are
We have not contacted them because they are incapable of saving America. There's nothing they can do. If we would have gotten a hold of them early on, if anything, they just would have known that we were coming. We've been kind of under the radar until now. I think recently we've been coming out from under that radar, and now we're there. We have tried to save our nation by talking with our elected individuals for God knows how long, okay? We go talk to them at town meetings, at different kind of meetings, liberty meetings, and they never do anything. They say they never do. They are totally mesmerized and controlled by the powers that be, quote-unquote, and they're not going to lift a finger to save America. They're incapable of doing it. And they really, most politicians are there for the money or the power. I know there are some good guys here or there, but they get lost in other ways, and nothing gets done, and there's not enough of them. So only the people can save America, and that's our job, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, may I have a quick follow-up?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, take, for example, the case of Common Core. No one knew what Common Core was, by and large, 2 years ago, and now there's political support for the repeal or the opting out of Common Core across the country. So would it not be at least worthwhile to prepare some kind of sample legislation and offer it to some conservative legislators?
No, we're not going to talk to legislators to ask them to do anything. We decided we, the people, are going to do it ourselves. And that's if you listened very closely to the paper, we, the people, are here. We're here to take control, move over, step aside, do the right thing, or we're going to indict you. That's the way we got to talk to these people, and that's the only thing they're going to understand anyway. And like I said, you know, we're wasting our time in political campaigns and wasting our time trying to convince politicians to do the right thing, to educate them. They're not listening enough anyway. You have to be focused and really understand what's going on. Now, there may be a few guys out there that may understand, but they're not going to be able to do anything on their own anyway. So, no, I don't want – I suggest that nobody waste their time there. Put your time in here, and let's take this forward, and let's take this nation back, because only the people can do it.
What he doesn't know is that we did go through that process when we did the committee man thing.
Oh yeah, many, many years.
We went into the courts with the election law and the committee man, and we saw the corruption in the process to become elected, and how it's now a top down thing instead of up from the people. And so you don't get in there unless that you kiss their ring. And so your legislators are all bought and paid for. They got things on every one of them. They control them as a puppet, and we know that for a fact. And we actually went up to the appellate level in the courts, trying to get them to follow the law on the way that people should be picked for candidacy and elected. And that whole system is corrupt. So we wouldn't go to them anyway, because we understand who they are. And look, if they want to do legislation, and we're going to be out in the news soon, let them do their own if they think they can. You know, we went there, we tried to fix that system, and it's broken. I mean, they don't follow the law. And we did that many years before we came to this. We have used up all our redress of grievances in all the other places, through the courts, through the legislators. I mean, look, we put in congressmen in here. We went outside of the party and put people in. You know, we haven't – this group didn't just come out of sitting on their hands. This group came out of frustration of everything else that we did that failed. So we got a good track record. If they want to look at our track record – we got a damn good track record of where we've been and why we come to this. And, you know, when we went after the Board of Elections and the courts, that's when we discovered how bad the courts were and how bad the judges were. And we realized that that was the keystone right there, the judiciary, that those judges were controlling everything. So that's why we're here, and that's why this thing grew out of this. It grew out of that process. And, you know, what we've been through, even we the people came up with the Articles of Freedom, and they petitioned for redress of grievances for something like 14 years. Our forefathers petitioned for 11 years. So look, we've been down that path just like our forefathers had. And you can take that speech that Patrick Henry made where he said, we implored and remonstrated and did this and prostrated ourselves, and all we get is slap. And that's exactly what we have done, and that's exactly what they have done. So we've been down that road, and I'm not saying that every person in office is bad, because they aren't, but the ones that aren't have such a wall. I mean, the best thing they can do is when we come, is try to support us and speak to us when they have the bully pulpit. I mean, look, we got some real good guys up in the Congress. Look at Trey Gowdy. He's a patriot. They're going to kill him. And the only way you're going to protect somebody like that is to bring this common law grand jury in, because, look, the common law grand jury is the protection of any good judge or any good legislator or any good president. It's the common law. The people are going to protect him. He'll never get indicted. They'll never put him up on a scam trial or anything like that. So that's why this is, we say, we believe that this is the only answer. All right, I yield.
And just one other thing, this Common Core, Common Core will never be defeated politically, never, because the powers that be need it, and it's going to happen. And whoever, you know, even though the Republicans are trying to make a move and make a political thing to some degree on this, they will fail because they'll never get the numbers because they'll have to be sold out. Listen, when they go to make their vote, there's a certain point, gets to a certain point, they twist some arms and they say, look, you're going to vote this way, and that's that. And they do it. Because they're intimidated or they've got something on them. You know, we're a captive people. Our legislators are captive. Our Senate is captive. You know, all of the legislators are captive, both in the House here in New York and also in Washington and in your state. They're all captive. The judiciary is captive, okay? And there may be a few good people in all of that, but they're unable to do anything. But now we're going to make it happen because we're relying on some good people in the judiciary somewhere that's going to start sending this in. It's going to snowball the effect of the other judges because a lot of judges are going to start to say, well, you know, goodness, I don't want to be indicted. These guys are going forward. It's going to happen. Let me sign it. I think that that's the way it's going to go. But time will tell. Nevertheless, we'll continue to put the pressure on no matter what, and we're taking this to Scalia. He knows we're coming. We put him into the paper, and we're getting his out tomorrow. So, well, the next day, day after tomorrow. So, okay, let's take the next caller. What is it? 248 number. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. This is David from Michigan, and I just wanted to – I got confirmation that you received my affidavit. I just wanted to know your thoughts about it.
Oh, I haven't read them yet. I've got a whole bunch of affidavits, but I don't know that I saw any – I did breeze through a few. You know, when I look at them, I breeze through them quickly. I didn't notice – I only noticed one from Tennessee. Where are you from?
Well, this is the one that you were expecting last Saturday. I told you that I was sending it out before I went to see my son, my brother's funeral in Texas.
Okay, but so this is a personal case, though, right?
No, you were expecting my affidavit. This is David from Michigan.
Okay.
You were, well, at least you said you were expecting it. You mentioned Michigan last week, I believe it was, or maybe it was the week before. Anyway, I guess it.
Well, I talked to a lot of people there. And a lot of things coming, and
yeah.
You'd have to rekindle my memory through
really
conversation
big.
Before.
Yeah. Wanted to find out. Why don't you? I did send you a. And you were expecting it on that Saturday. I sent it to you via email, and then I sent it by certified mail, and I sent it by email on the Saturday that you were expecting it.
Anything that came on email, don't ever think that for sure that I'm going to get it because I'm not getting a lot of it. I don't open attachments on email from just about – well, there are some people I do open attachments for, but generally speaking, I don't open attachments.
Well, it was a different email that you had given me. It was john@nationallibertyalliance.org. It was something that you had given to me specifically. And so, you know, based on that information, I guess it was the Saturday before last because I've been out of town for the last week dealing with the death in the family. I was just wanting to find out what you thought, and I had requested in the email that you give me some feedback, and I didn't get it.
Where was that from? What was it, a Gmail account?
It was john@nationallibertyalliance.org.
No, your email, because I think I told you to copy me. Is it B. Lynn?
Pardon me? I'm David Scheid. It's got my first initial and my middle initial and my last name.
Okay, because I have everybody copy me, so I have all kinds of stuff here with affidavits.
Right. This was something that John and I spoke about by phone. He mentioned something
a
couple of weeks
ago.
You got to
bear in mind.
On Saturday.
What you've got to bear in mind is this, that I talk to a lot of people, and until I start to hear certain things, all of a sudden I'll start to remember who I'm talking to and what that was about. Until that happens, I'm trying to remember who you are, but I'm sure if we got into some details, I would know.
That gave you four video commercials.
Okay, now I got it.
And
yep.
We went through
so
2 months of me wondering whether you were even going to play it. Or have it made available to the public. And then we had some discussion over the phone in conference calling dealing with Michigan.
Right.
I'm surprised out of all this, I don't know, what, 5 months, 6 months that I've been dealing with you, many times personally over the phone, that you still don't even remember who's calling you, you know, on a regular basis.
Well, you wouldn't call me on a regular basis, but you see, now you kindle my memory. I talk to a lot of people from Michigan, by the way.
Okay.
And
David,
cases,
you were supposed to copy me on my Girard 53. I don't know if you
Well,
did,
no, nobody gave me that information when I was on the phone, and I did call John. It was a one-to-one conversation that we had. I managed to get him on a day that he answered his phone. And so there was no request to confirm, and in fact, this email address I thought was something that you don't usually give out, but obviously you don't
well,
even
Well, yeah,
at
I
it.
Do, well, because I wanted to get whatever it was that you were sending, and I wanted to get it. And, you know, you got to bear in mind, I talk to a lot of people all day long. Lately now, I've shut my phones off because I am focusing in on other things that I got to get done. But at night, I get loaded up with phone calls. We do 3 hours, three times a week. So, you know, I talk
well,
to a lot of
I'm
people, and it
tonight,
takes a while
John.
For me to remember. But that's okay.
Right.
I'm going to go through it. I got a bunch of papers. If you mail them physically to me, I got a bunch of papers sitting off on my side desk here, and I got to go through them. You know, to sit down and read takes time, and time is something that I don't have much of, but it is something, one of the things that I have to address and get to, and I got to, you know, go through all these affidavits and put them into the categories. I'm focusing in now very specifically on Tennessee and Florida, because those are two huge cases that's going to help to springboard us even further.
Well,
because
2 weeks
both
ago,
of them
you
are
were
as
Jerry expecting
Tampery
something
and,
from Saturday from Michigan. And I thought that was
right.
The one that you were expecting from me. And that's why I, even though I was busy and even though I had a death in the family, I went way out of my way to make sure that I had that affidavit in your hands by email at the email address that you had given to me on the day that you wanted it sent to you, along with my request that you acknowledge it, and I never got that acknowledgement. And then I went the extra step of making sure that went to you that very same day in the mail, and I had asked that you acknowledge it.
Okay, just bear in mind again, you know, I get so many emails that recently I had to put a responder on my email to ask people not to send me any more email and take me, or if you're, because a lot of people put me on mailing lists. I got to get off those mailing lists. Everybody that's on a mailing list, take me off.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not a lot
right,
of people,
listen,
John.
Listen.
I'm just somebody
you
that's been
a lot,
very,
you said
very
a lot, and
adamant
I'm trying
person
to get
that's trying to,
the to point.
Support you.
Yeah,
I've supported you with commercials. I've supported you with this affidavit. And if you don't read the affidavit, I'm telling you, it led to so many other things, and it was preceded by those other letters that I sent to you that I still haven't gotten feedback about
okay.
that
well,
regarding the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Maybe I haven't got the time. Let me talk a little bit here, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe because I haven't had time to read. You know, I got a lot of affidavits sitting here. I got a lot of people I talk to. They're expecting me to read theirs, too. There's only so many hours in a day. I only got, one set of eyes and one set of ears, and you can only do so much. You know, we've got all kinds of information, papers being written, papers going to the federal courts, we're rewriting the state stuff, we're constantly moving up on
well, you don't need
things.
Anything more from me, obviously. So I'll just sit back
well,
and wait till
as,
you find the
right.
time to respond to me. That'll be fine.
Right. Well, that's
okay.
good, and that's what you're going to have to do. Look at What paper you're coming in with is probably is going to one of the other informations, which we haven't even started working on yet, because we have to do what is first and foremost necessary to do, and that, of course, is dealing with the paperwork that just went out to all the judges. Nothing was more important on our plate than that work, and believe me, a lot of work went into that. It took a lot of time. Now, the other thing is the Tennessee thing, and believe me, that's taken a lot of time, and I got affidavits coming in on that. I only got one affidavit from Tennessee, but that's a first and foremost case on our list. I'm also in negotiations, or not negotiations, but discussions of what's going on down in Florida. And there's a lot, I need to be updated a lot more than what I am, and tomorrow hopefully I'm going to get that. A lot of paperwork's coming in from that. I've gotten paperwork coming stack, an inch and a half of paperwork from California concerning Commander Walt's case, which the original affidavits, which one of the guys out in California was working with him on the legal ends, and that's a lot of reading. You know, I can't get to everything. Everybody that's doing things, you know, it's all important, but everything has to be done in its own time. And your case will be dealt with in the same way. And again, you know, we're not helping anybody specifically with the cases. But what you're looking for is cases that's going to support us and our position on the fact that the courts are grossly mistreating the people, cases of that nature. Mostly we're looking for cases that identify problems with the juries, whether it be a grand jury or a trial jury, how the whole thing is a fraud, how the jury tampering by the judge, jury tampering by the prosecutor, jury tampering just by putting spies into the jury itself. We got a guy that's a lawyer out in Tennessee that's sitting on a grand jury, and yet he's not with the grand jury, but he is with the grand jury, but he's not a grand jury, and he's a bar lawyer, and he's being paid by the county, and he's sitting on all these grand juries, and he's preventing people from coming in. You see, that's a huge case, and those things have got to take precedence. And a lot of things are important to me, but I can't keep up with these things. I really can't. And sometimes
well,
it takes me a little while. Sometimes
oh, okay.
It takes me a little while to figure out who I'm talking to, you know, because, you know, I'm just one person, and I'm not all that bright either, you know. So, I mean, I got to figure things out and figure out who I'm talking to. I figured out who I'm talking to now, though, by the way.
Okay. Well, just to get off that subject, because I just won't contact you or do anything more until you've already got caught up to what I've already done for you already. But I did want to let you know, while I've been on waiting in queue here, I got a phone call from Michael Badnarik, who is in the hospital, and if Hagen in Florida is listening, and so many of the other people that were part of the Continental Congress 2009, where he was the president of that, Bob Schultz, if you can let them know that Michael Badnarik needs our prayers right now.
Okay. Did he have another heart attack?
No, I'm not going to give details about his health, but I'm just letting you know and the public know that Michael Badnarik needs to be in your prayers.
Well, Hagen's on or Roger's on, so they'll let him know. I'll get a hold of Bob.
Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate it. Bye. Okay, next caller, Anonymous.
Hi, John.
Yes.
It's Rosanna from Ohio.
How you doing, Rosanna? Can you lower your mic volume?
Yeah, and let me take it off. I had it on speaker, too.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Much better.
I was listening to it on speaker. I talked to you about a week or so. This thing getting to the jury and the tampering and all that, I told you that I have, and I've been for months, trying to get these, I got these criminal charges off of the Ohio Rules of Civil or Procedures.
I know.
Sorry.
Your case is a good case if you put a nice affidavit together, and you probably have all the affidavits you made.
Well, let me finish. Let me just go through this. I put it through Skype. I tried to get into you on a Friday night a week ago, but everybody was kept pushing me off. That's exactly what happened. And I was trying to get to you and tell you I wanted to make sure you got these. I sent these 7 pages, and they're individual criminal charges I put to the Logan County Prosecutor and the Ohio Attorney General.
You did that on a Dropbox.
And in Skype. And I even gave you the responses they sent back to me that they're not going to do anything. They're brushing me off. That's them refusing me to get to a grand jury through them. And that's strong, I think. That's very strong. I've got the exhibits in there to show the fraud of the documents, signatures. My father's on medical drugs. He doesn't have to be on by this doctor. These people knew my father was living like this. Criminal charges need to be filed for this. So I sent those to you through Skype. Yes, I've used Dropbox, I do. But I sent those criminal, those
but
seven
this looks
pages.
Like a, this looks like an MP3 that I just downloaded.
I might have a, yep, that's probably the conversation I had with my father on May the 12th when they came in and arrested me.
Okay.
That's probably what that conversation is. They came in and arrested me.
I'm looking now, back for the other one. Let me see.
It would have been on the 15th, I think.
Okay, yeah, I see one for the 15th. I'm clicking on that one right now. Okay, yeah, you got a lot of stuff here. I can't go through all this stuff. Do you have, can you give me one paper, put it together, and just fuse it as an affidavit? Because what we're looking for is not your case, but just an affidavit. You see, what we're doing here is this. Your case is a very good case for what they're doing here to show the corruption in the court. But it has to come in a form of an affidavit, not a whole case. It's just way too much, not only for me to read, but they're not going to read it. We're just collecting affidavits from people who have really good cases to show the corruption. With the most important ones we're looking for, the ones that really focus in on the juries, whether it be a trial jury or a grand jury, with the fraud or the tampering by the judge and so on. That's what we want. Mostly.
Well, the fact that I drafted, these are affidavits, John. I got them off
what
the
What I'm saying is I'm looking at them. I'm just telling you it's 2 months, though, because you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You need to take these affidavits, collect them, put them together, and then, you know, reduce it to the highlights.
Yeah. Now, all okay. You see where it says number 2, criminal complaints? That is the criminal complaints. There's 7 pages there. There for individual people, if you open that, there's 7 of them there. And then number 2, the exhibits, that's the exhibits that go with the complaints. You can use them or not, but the complaints themselves are there. And the
right,
letter from
my
the
point
prosecutor
is that we don't want the complaint, just the affidavits. Okay, we just want an affidavit concerning your case.
But there, it is the affidavit.
Which
if
one
you
is
open
the affidavit?
Number 2, criminal complaint.
Okay,
when you
but
open
it
has
it up. Criminal, okay, so what you're saying is an affidavit in with the criminal complaint.
Yes, just like they do. It's professional. It's done exactly like, and I notarized mine. It's mine. They're real. And, yes, and that's what that is. There's 7 of them in there for individuals, 7 individuals. And so that's what those are. Those are affidavits on there. They're notarized.
All right.
Swearing
what
to
I'm
it.
Trying
so.
To get, what I'm trying to get is a synopsis of your case. I'm just looking at this very quickly. They are short. They're 7 pages is what it is. And but does this give a synopsis of your whole case? I don't see that it does.
Well, those are the charges that are against them. And the next
right.
link is the exhibit. See, I gave the exhibits
okay.
to the for right. evidence.
But,
for evidence.
Right. Listen to what I'm trying to say, okay? I hear what you're saying. Your case is big. You got a lot of stuff here. And it's way too much for me to go through to try to figure out and read and study and then pull together for you. And then if I start splicing it up to bring it together, which takes a lot of time, as you know, but you'd be able to do it a lot quicker because it's your case. I'd have to first study your case, then try to pull it together, then create a real affidavit. Then I got to get back to you for signature. I can't do that. I don't have the time. But what you
okay.
need to do is take your case and give me a synopsis from day one to present on the corruption of the court and what's going on. That's what you
okay,
want
well,
to do.
Okay, well, in 2 weeks, there's criminal case coming up again. I've got to get ready for that. 3 weeks ago, I got out of the hospital after being in there
okay.
for 8 days with congestive heart failure. I've got an implant now. I'm on meds now. My father, over the weekend, I just found out he went in last week with congestive heart failure. Can you believe that? And his legs are all swollen up. Now, and then earlier this year, there was blood infection from the nursing home. They've got him on drugs loaded up because he's trying to kill himself to get out. I've written 2 habeas corpuses to try to save my dad, and they deny me. I need a habeas corpus, too, because there's money in this estate, and that's where they're keeping my dad. This is a
right.
lot of money. That's damage is
well,
done.
I
this
realize.
Is money I would gladly donate.
I understand. I realize that. And the point is, as soon as the grand juries get in, they'll be able to do something. And that's why we're pushing so hard to do it. I mean, I hear heartbreaking stories for all over this nation, and it's a serious problem we have. And that's why we're looking to collect the affidavits and bring them together and to show that what's going on in these courts and the damages and the fraud that they're involved with. And they're not giving anyone due process. Nobody anywhere ever gets due process. I haven't seen anyone get due process since I've been involved in these cases, since involved in the courts 5 years
ago. How is somebody getting a habeas to work when my dad's in prison? He's in prison in a place where he's getting blood infections. He's getting congestive heart failure. They're stealing the estate. They've let him on psychotropic drugs because he's trying to kill himself to get out. How am I not getting a habeas corpus to go through?
Because they won't. I have never heard of anyone getting habeas corpus through. I have never heard of one. Okay.
How are you going to get the one for Tennessee to go? Didn't you say you got one for Seville?
Well, I'm trying to tell you. We did one down in New York, okay, one of our own that was really being given. And a matter of fact, we did an information on that case down there because it really became a portrayal for the to portray the sovereign citizen thing that they're doing, and they did persons of information on this guy, all kinds of things. This guy could have died. They had posters up, and all you need is some young cop, a rookie that is looking to do something, and he could get shot. That one worked. It was the first one we'd done, and it worked.
They didn't actually answer it. They just let him go.
Oh, no, they did. They just let him go. And we live with that
right.
at the moment. We don't have
right.
the time to go back to deal with
right.
that, but we will eventually help him on that, but we just can't go back right now. But he got out of jail. That's the key. Now, the other thing is the one in Tennessee. We want to get this guy out of jail. But this is important because, you see, this particular case plays right into everything we're doing. This is the epitome of the story that we have. I mean, this guy is trying to get to the grand jury. They wouldn't let him. Spent years trying to get to the grand jury. Has a story to tell. He's a commander. He's an ex-commander, Navy commander, and so he's high-ranking. He's someone with integrity. And yet they just ignored this guy and kept pushing him away. And he wants to get his story out, so then they just railroaded him. I mean, everything he did and everything he was trying to do is the epitome of what we're trying to show, is the fraud of the on all the courts that they've taken control of the jury.
I've probably been at this probably longer than he has. I mean, I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I put criminal charges to the prosecutor and the Attorney General's office. The FBI has these.
Right.
What I gave you right there, and they refused to do anything. When I've there was way more evidence than what I've got there with those. They were blocking me.
You got to understand. It's the nature of the case. Now we decided to do is to also bring together cases from the standpoint of showing fraud in a court. You got a good case for that. If you do, look at if you take go in there and you take your work and you bring it together. You do all your affidavits, pull them together, and you got a word processor. Throw them in one by one after the other. Start splicing it up, pulling in the good stuff, and give an overview. Yeah, we can't take the whole case, but it's the overview, and it'll help, of course, to make our point on the information that we're going to be right on this, and the bill of information. Now, it's not going to. It could be helpful because once we file it, then you can make note that your case was filed with the grand jury, and of course, you can start to use that in the court. That this was an example of the epitome of fraud taking place in the court, and the corruption and the destruction. And they're really in it for the money. I mean, this is an opportunity to help your court case. I mean, but we're not
where they deny you the grand jury access is important. And you know, the only help you're going to get is if your name goes in there, and then it goes in with us because this is a movement of all 50 states. That's the only reason anything that we have done has worked is the fact that it gets connected. Look at that case in New York. The judge that answered us originally up here in Prudente gave an order to pull the paperwork out of his case. So when we came in there, they knew that this was national.
That made it personal to the grand jury.
That's right. That's right. So that's the only reason it worked. It's not because we're anything special or anything like that, because what they understand is they understand the power of the people. You know, they only fear the party, because the party is the people that can hurt them. And the other thing is they understand a popular uprising, and make no mistake about it, this is a popular uprising. So, listen, get your case in there with your name in there, and if your name is in there, eventually that's going to get around, and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, oh, crap, the grand jury people, that movement has gotten a hold of this case, and she's in there. Then you may start to see results when they finally start to take us seriously. But right now, they don't even know we exist. They only know you exist in your little corner there. You're just like a little pimple.
Oh, corner. They know I exist. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, but they
know my name at the state level.
Yes.
But,
so
do you need exhibits with these?
No, just an affidavit. An affidavit is prima facie.
Okay, so no exhibits. And I, by the way, I just got a case from the Ohio Supreme Court last month, and they ruled a criminal rule of procedure, 46A, unconstitutional. It had to do with bonds, and they just ruled this criminal rule of procedure unconstitutional, which had been on the books for a lot of years. But out of this decision, I learned that a habeas corpus can be written on the basis that the bond is being exceedingly high. And if a habeas corpus can be written for that, why can't a habeas corpus be written for my father because they're profiting from this?
Yeah, you are in a chancery court. You're, when you go into that court, you're going before a king. Understand that. You're going before a king. That's why I deny jurisdiction everywhere I go. I deny that jurisdiction. I'm not coming before a king.
I mean,
when
I write
continue,
my stuff.
I'm gonna bring you before me by bringing you into a common law process, and I'm going to put you into the defendant's side here, and then you're going to answer to me. You see, that's how you got to deal with these people. I told you long. You need to be in the federal courts. You got to get out of where you're at.
I know that. I know that. But, John, I've got a criminal case now that you're slapping at me to get me away and put me in jail over this.
That's why you have to go into federal court even more then. You have
why?
To,
couldn't they touch me then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, look, everything stops once you move into the federal court. It's a reevaluation. The problem you're going to have in federal court is they do the same thing in federal court they do in the state court.
Right.
And you got to put the judge's flesh on the line. He's a little more easy to deal with from that standpoint, but he's much more brighter. And look, we have discovered, we scratch our heads sometimes saying we've done all the right things, we got everything here, and yet this guy made this move. How did he get away with it? Then we discover, you know, little things, we discover, that's how he did it. You see, I think we got it all down now. I mean, maybe they got a few more tricks in their hat, but we'll figure them out as we get to them. But you see, that's what it is. You got to figure out what trick they're pulling. If they're not responding to you from point to point, and you see they're not fearing you, but they keep putting the pressure more onto you, then they're operating off of a little trick that they think is going to work for them. And generally, for most people, it does, because most people don't understand. But once you see what that trick is, and then you call them on that, that's it. You know, the one last thing they did to us was something I didn't even expect, and that was that they filed the papers, and we thought, wow, great, we got the papers filed. But they filed it into a court case. They didn't file it as a process through the judicial process as an indictment. You know, they like, oh, what are you talking about? An indictment? Well, we didn't even notice that. You know, they played dumb is what they did, okay? But that's okay. Now we understand more about them, and we made the next move. And they're getting those papers back. Matter of fact, I'm working on those papers as we speak. Every paper that we sent in before is now going back through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. You see? And they're going to be refiled right into the court, and let's see where they're going to stick it now. So that's how we got to do it. But anyway, it's getting late. We got to go on. We got a lot of other people. But get that affidavit up to us, and it's got to be an original. Don't email me. Anybody emailing me an affidavit, first of all, I can't take. I don't like to open files unless I really know who the person is. And number one, but the other thing is that it's not doing us any good if it's a copy. We need the original here, because we need the
evidence.
Shouldn't
I be keeping the original? Keep the original?
Make two originals. You get them both signed. I always make two originals. So anyway, make two originals, send me one. And we got to have an original on file because we have to have integrity. We have to have honor. We have to be honorable, and we're not just going to talk out of our hats. You know, we need that. That's what makes a case prima facie. We have evidence. Nothing. Mm-hmm. The strongest evidence you can get is an affidavit.
I know, but the Supreme Court just told me that I've got the letter from them. Oh no, an unrebutted affidavit. No, that's not what that means. No, just because Judge Waters didn't answer your affidavit of facts, no, that doesn't mean he's confessed to it. They wrote me back and told me that.
Next time you go into that courtroom, genuflect, okay? Because that's what you're up against.
This is the highest Supreme Court. I didn't go before them. I just wrote an affidavit of disqualification, and it was an affidavit of facts, and he didn't answer. They answered for him.
He's not gonna. Don't you understand? We should all know this by now. All we're doing is frustrating ourselves, thinking we're going to get an answer. You ain't getting an answer from any court. Why even bother? The only court you're going to get an answer from is your court. And the only way you can get into your court is to fight your way into your court. Let me tell you.
I really have been.
I got a very simple case. I'm going to go through this very quickly, and we're going to move on, and we can discuss it more on Thursday because that's the day for this kind of conversation. But very simply, I've gotten some tickets over the past year or so, okay? Some of these tickets I send in my papers, and then I don't hear back from them, and that's fine. That's what I want. That was the purpose of my paperwork. But some of them, they just want it. They want their $50 so bad, they figure I'm not a threat to them. So that's okay. I got them. I put them in my thing. When it comes to the last date, I pay the ticket, and I get the receipt, and I put it in there. And I got about four of them, maybe five, okay? Now I'm going to take it to the court. I'm going to take it to the Supreme Court here in New York and four or five different courts. I'm going to sue all these judges. I'm going to sue if there's the prosecutor involved. I'm going to sue in one or two cases. They actually sent my papers back, so I'm going to sue the clerk, too. I'm going to sue them all. I'm going to sue the Department of Motor Vehicles. I'm going to sue the state, quote-unquote, of New York. And then when I get into the Supreme Court here in New York, they're going to conspire right there the first day in. They're going to call for a meeting, and I know it's I know the meeting that they're pulling me tells me now I'm in a Nisi Prius court. I'm going to challenge the jurisdiction. They're going to say, sit down, Sonny. We're not going to listen to what you have to say. And I'm going to say, okay, fine. I object to everything. And I'm going to go home, and I'm going to write my papers and put them all onto the defendant's list. And then I'm going to overrule whatever the judge does. I'm going to give him a writ of error, and I'm going to overrule him, and I'm going to rescind everything he had to say, and I'm going to tell him what the truth is and the way it's going to go. And then he's going to get another paper moving it into the federal court. And the federal judge, I'm going to write the paper, and I'm going to alert him that I'm going to do the same thing to him. You say it in a roundabout way. Do the same thing to you that I did to this guy if you try to hijack me into that Nisi Prius court. And I'm going to press it through the federal court. I'm going to make a federal case out of this whole thing. And they are all guilty at that point. It's $50,000 apiece for everyone, any right that I can show on the list of the amendments, which ones ones that I know others, you know, that they violated against me, my right to travel without being annoyed and bothered and all that other stuff. But the point is that I'm going to make a federal case out of it. It's very easy. But you're not going to win your case in a town court, a city court, or a village court. You're not going to win your case in a state court. Your only chance of winning your case is in a federal court. And once they conspire, once they hijack you into that other court, now you got a federal case. Now that just became a federal case. Don't bother wasting your time. We've spent way too much time in these courts, and we've wasted our time. On the one hand, it was a lesson. This is a school of hard knocks. We learned now. We're not doing it no more. They get one shot at it. That's it. You do the right thing now, or we just move on. I'm not waiting for them to steamroll us. Me, I'm not going to wait for them to tell me what they're going to do. I don't care. I'm just taking them right to the federal court.
I know. I've just spread out because of all the issues they're throwing at me. I am spread a lot, and you know that, with mom's murder, the guardianship, the estate, the wrongful death, the criminal stuff. I am really spread out, and they're doing this, of course, on purpose. But it's just hard. I mean, I can't get my stuff done, which is why I went into congestive heart failure. But anyway, I'll let you go. We'll talk Thursday. I do have some quick questions on writ of errors, show cause, and arrest of judgment. They're quick, though. I just want to know why. But
well, if you had congestive heart failure, just on a quickie here, and you can talk to me, you know, Thursday night a little bit. There's a thing called heart and body extract, and it's got some really strange natural stuff in here. And I've heard it work well on a lot of people. I think I was heading for that kind of thing, and I've been taking this for quite some time, and things have changed medically for me. You know, I feel a lot more healthier. So,
my dad always needs it, too, because he just... Huh? Say what?
I'll drop a phone number in your Skype later, and you can order it. But I got to move to the next caller.
Hey, listen, one other thing. The chat. We can't get into the chat. It's not on the NLA. I can't find it. The chat's not there.
Yeah, it should be on NLA. Gerard, are you in the chat room?
No, you can't. It doesn't exist. There's a big white box. I can't. It's a big white box.
Hold on, let me see.
You gotta reload it. I've been.
I did. It's still a white box. Remember when Rick said there's only three people in the chat? It's not there.
No.
You can go over to Rick's chat.
You can go to shakeandwakeradio.com, click the banner, and there's a player on the right top side. By the way, we're going to have Winamps, iTunes, Windows Media, Real Player, QuickTime, and TuneIn within the next couple of days. So there'll be multiple ways to listen. But if you go to shakeandwakeradio.com, click the banner. It'll take you into the site. You'll see the logo and banners changing. And you'll scroll down. There's a Chatango site that you can type in an anonymous name, anything you want. And you can join us here and ask questions.
We're getting
questions.
Into the text chat area from Shake and Wake.
ShakeandWakeRadio.com.
I know that, but we're getting into the chat text area on that site.
Yeah, they have a chat over there because we're going over the radio, so you can chat there.
Okay, well, it was all white.
I don't know why our chat isn't working. I just tried to get in. I couldn't get in either. So.
Yeah, it's not working. It's not working. That's right.
So that's okay.
Yeah,
what
go
I
over
figured
there then,
somebody...
you know.
Okay,
And they got a lot of good programming.
Shake and wake.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people hearing me right now are going to be glad because they'll know where to go now because nobody knew.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
Now we know.
Shake and wake. Shake and wake. Like shake and bake, but shake and wake. radio.com.
Mm-hmm.
Click the banner, and when you enter the site, scroll down, you'll see a big white chat that says Shake and Wake Radio Chat, join us. On the right-hand side at the bottom, you can log in and create an anonymous name or get a free Chatango account.
Okay.
There's like 12 right. people in there right now.
Well, nobody knew to go over there.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody knew to go
cool
there.
Site.
Okay.
There's a picture
right.
of John Pickett on the site with a fig leaf on like
okay.
Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
You'll see it. I'm just
right.
kidding.
Okay, whatever. I'm just.
I was wondering
funny.
What he was
nothing's
talking
funny
about.
Anymore
he had
to
me.
Me.
Going.
I'm
saying,
sorry,
what are you
I got. My dad's being murdered, so I don't know if I find much humor in anything anymore.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you, and all I'll right. talk with you later. Bye.
Right. St. John Durash.
Okay, next caller, another anonymous. Go right ahead. You've just been unmuted. You must have heard the message. You've been unmuted, anonymous. Hello, anonymous. Last call for anonymous. Okay, 540-845. You got the mic. Hello? 540-845.
I'm here. This is Anna from Virginia.
How you doing, Anna?
How is everybody? Good. I thought the True Bill was excellent. Is this the first time it's been on the site, or have you been putting drafts on the site?
We did have a draft of this back done on the 1st. I'm pretty sure that was taken down. I'll double-check to make sure it was. This is, we read part of this before, but we added to it. We changed it.
Well,
because
it
we want to make it more, we wanted to make it more focused on the fact that they have taken up a war against the people of the United States of America. And we are here to draw that line to bring justice back into our system.
Well, since it's a unified United States motion, wondering, shouldn't some of the, I guess, state coordinators or had their signature? I mean, how are these going?
Oh yeah, yeah, no. We called for a you know, a grand jury meeting collected. We had, goodness, I think it was 165 people came to that meeting, and we was unanimous all the way through.
Okay, okay. And this was read through?
No. We did not have the paper written at that point. We brought up the charges, what we were doing, and of course the paper comes after. You know, if we wouldn't write the paper before, but the paper comes after. No.
Right. I do remember being on that call where, but of course you have no way of knowing how the letter is going to go. It just so happens it's like amazing.
Right. Well, it's an information.
So happy about that, but.
It's a bill of information, and we do have a few people that do get involved with this, but we, you know, obviously we can't go out to 3,000 people. Sometimes some people think we need to. We have to become democratic about writing a paper, but we wouldn't get anything done if we did that, and we'd never end up with a real good paper.
No, but I would think you'd want at least a representative from each state or something, if you're going to call it a national effort kind of thing.
Well, of course. That's why we bring the case before the people. The people decide. When you take it to a grand jury, and the grand jury, we take the papers to the grand jury, they'll make the decision on what they're going to do. They don't write the paper. The administrators will write the paper. Right now, the paper will be written ultimately by the prosecutor, and then they'll just sign it. They won't even ask them to look at it. We'll ask them to look at it and make sure it's accurate to what you people are saying. And they'll have that opportunity. And as long as it's accurate, then it's signed. They don't know how to write a paper. They don't understand the necessary wording. They don't know the codes and what the violations are. That's the job of the administrators. And that's why all the administrators need to be somewhat educated. And it doesn't take a lot, but it does take an education, you know. And there'll always be a place where people can come to get advice and thoughts and ideas and so on. That's why we're going to start a special class on Thursday nights, the first hour of our Thursday night call. But other than that, you know, a Monday night call might turn into just really meetings at some point in the future for dealing with questions and answers on different things involved in the administrative process, because we'll be in power at that point, and you need a place to go to ask questions. So the state coordinators are not qualified to really sit down to go through that and see, you know, to try to write that together. Again, we would never get it done. When the Declaration of Independence was written, the job was given to Thomas Jefferson, and he went and he wrote the paper. And that's the paper they got. Now, they did make some changes, of course. we don't have that opportunity here, unless the people have the experience. But we do have advisors we talk to. We get insight from different people who have experience, and that's where we got to go. And we do.
Okay.
We do that.
And there's no real names on this, is there? I mean, I guess I didn't look for that, but there's no.
Here's one of the problems we have. We have a lot of people who just, you know, they haven't been involved enough, and they're just sitting there. I don't know what they're doing, but they're not getting it done. And I'll read off the states. And, you know, these states have got to get their seals. You know, we really were pushing for the seals. We've been pushing the seals for a long time. We told the states and the state coordinators that are involved with these states, look, go out and get your states, your seals now while you're getting this job done, because we need it. Now the time to put the actual impression seal right on now with a signature, which I've been collecting these papers for months now, now is the time to do that, okay? But we're lacking from certain states. New Hampshire hasn't sent it in, Montana, Indiana, Mississippi, California, Virginia, North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Wisconsin, New Mexico, Alaska, South Carolina, Georgia, Delaware, and North Dakota. Those states have not sent in their seal yet, their impression on a paper with a signature. So we're sending these papers, as you see, with by permission, of course, because all the states came in and we made the decision to go forward. We're sending them with the stamp seal. So you'll see 49 stamp seals, and there'll be one impressed seal on it. That'll be the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury seal. And there'll be one signature, which is the foreman, and that'll be it. And that's all you really need is the one foreman anyway and those seals. But we did want to get the signatures with all the seals going to Scalia. And that's 2 days from now. We're sending out Scalia 2 days from now. Anybody in those states, if you can send it overnight or send it in 2 days mail, maybe we can if we get all the states in to get the impressions to get it done. But, you know, it's hard to get people's attention. It really is. And they're not paying attention. And I'll just say it the way it is. We have a lot of state leaders that want to be state leaders, and they get upset when we try to make different decisions because we need people who are going to respond and get involved and work together, unify together. And then they don't come to the – they want to be the leaders, and they want to do this. And it's not really a state leader. It's a coordinator, but they look at it as being leaders. But then at the same time, they don't come to the Monday meetings. They don't get involved. They don't get their paperwork done. So what's the purpose then? So, of course, we need to look for people – who are going to get the job done. We did this when we were getting some of these states finished off and getting them constituted, and we had people dragging their feet, so we got other people, and they did it, and it just got to be done. So we're looking for people, the state coordinators, we'd like for people to choose them in the states, but they choose someone that's not going to be responsive on a national level to get together so we can join unified across this nation to go do the job we came to do. This is the job right now, this is the job we came to do. And if the people don't come, then we just need a new leader. And I don't want to call him a leader. We need a new coordinator. We need one person from every state to be responsible to make sure that's sealed, to make sure that paper gets sealed, to get that paper out, to be at that meeting, to be at Monday, to make sure they know what's going on the Monday night meetings, and if possible, the Thursday, because they need to learn about law after all. But the one Monday night is the most important, at least the first hour. And they got to do that. So if they don't do that, then you guys need to get yourself another state coordinator, okay?
There's a little bit of, that the administrators aren't considered skilled enough or whatever to draft a paper like the true
bill.
Well,
they're not.
But
they
yet,
are not.
Okay.
Yeah, they are not.
Then how could a state coordinator then be qualified enough to sign for the whole state? With a jury seal, you know what I mean?
Because you're thinking it too much. No,
no,
no, no, no, no. You're missing the point. Look, at the state coordinator has a duty, okay? Right now it's the state coordinator that has the duty, and they can pass it to someone else if they want, but the state coordinator has the duty to make sure that everybody, that the organizers are organizing, that he's pulling that, he or she is pulling those people together, that they're having a very short meeting once a week, that he or she is getting to the Monday night meeting and getting everybody to the Monday night meeting. The Monday night meeting gives them the updates. They need to be getting up to the website. They need to be learning. They need to learn common law. They need to learn all these things. They need to be involved with that. Now, the state coordinators may not want to be the administrators. They may not want to get that deep into it, and that's fine. That's fine. But they are necessary. They are nevertheless the ambassador for the state. And the ambassador, whether he understands or she understands what's going on, they know what the job is, and the job is to make that seal and put that signature. That's the job. And they can get someone else to do that for them if they want. That's fine, too. But the bottom line is we need one person that is coordinating. That's the word that we used for this, coordinating, getting everybody together, getting them to the meeting. Look, we're on the job training. You're on the job. Without the training, you're not on the job, okay? And right now people are not qualified to do certain things, but they can become qualified. They got to get learning. And that's what National Liberty Alliance website is all about, to teach these people what to do. Now, I'm sorry the course has taken so long, but all the information on the courses are up there. People should be going through, the 5,000-year leap. They should be going through trial by jury. They should be going through American history. We got all that up there. We got common law.
Yeah.
We got constitutional law. We have constitutional class. We've got everything up there that's going to be on the course. They'd be doing it now. And if they're not doing it, then they're not taking it serious. Anybody who thinks that they're going to become an administrator in any county and not take this course, that's why we decided to do a course, because to make sure people take this course. You don't take the course, you're not getting in. You're not taking on that job because you're not qualified.
It's not ready yet, though, is it?
You're wrongdoing to allow people to come in. No, but people should be preparing. No, it's not ready, but people should be preparing. Anybody who wants to be an administrator should be coming to the Thursday night call. Why? Because we discuss common law. We discuss court procedure. We look at cases. All kinds of things are going on there that people need to know. And if they're not knowing it, they can't do it. You see? So that's what people have got to do. And I'm telling you right now, we have made the decision. Okay, we don't want to be telling people what to do or anything, but we have a very serious job to do, and we have a responsibility. National Liberty Alliance has come a long way, and we've come to that point where we've unified the entire nation. We've got people in every state, and we've constituted every state. And the bottom line is this, is we got to get this job done. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our posterity. We owe it to our family. We owe it to our neighbors. We owe it to every. We owe it to ourselves also. We owe it to God to get this job done. And we have made the decision. This is not again, they're not leaders, but they can be. Everyone should be a leader. And some people, you know, will lead and other people will follow. And then eventually they should be working to make those followers all leaders. We're all leaders. And sometimes you lead and sometimes we follow. Sometimes someone's more qualified. You let them go forward first, okay? And then sometimes you're more qualified, so you'll take the lead. You have to figure that out. But the bottom line, nevertheless, is people have got to be involved. We're going to take the movement, the decision. We've got people in a lot of states that are willing to do the right thing, whereas we have one group of leadership, but they're not doing the right thing. And when we figure it out, we're going to change leadership. And I don't want to call it leadership. We're going to change over to the coordinators that are going to do the job, get to the meeting, and push the people. Because if they're not doing the job, they're not doing anything for the state. They're not doing anything for the nation. And they're not doing the job. So let's get it done. If they want to be a coordinator, let's get the job done. So, and they should become educated because they got to write papers themselves. And again, you know, the state coordinators may not be wanting to be the administrator. Let me say one more time. That is fine. That is fine. They can pass things over to the people that are more involved in that haven't got the time maybe to be the state coordinators, but can take key positions at key times, maybe make the signature, hold the seal if you want, whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be the state coordinator holding a seal, but, you know, the state seal, that is. So that's fine. So they could do that. But nevertheless, look at, we got to get this job done. People need to do the right thing. I can't believe I'm finding out that there are state coordinators that never came to a Monday night meeting. Can you believe that? What are they doing if they haven't been to a Monday night meeting? What are they doing? They're having meetings on their own. What are they talking about? What are they doing? Because I don't know. And we've done the research to lay this whole program out for people to get the job done and get it right. Look at, you're going to have your freedom, and you're going to be totally on your own when you're in your county as administrators, where the rubber meets the road, making the decisions and doing the right thing. You'll need advice. We'll be here. Okay, we're not looking to control anybody. But right now, this is National Liberty Alliance, and if we got to control the I don't want to call, well, I'll call it leadership. We're going to control the coordinators in order to make sure that the word gets out to the people and the knowledge gets out to the people, and that's what we're going to do because we have a duty to do it. And I've tried to keep a hands off on this, but I'm beginning to think maybe I got to get more involved in it. And of course, you know, we're going to get a lot of people crying and complaining about it. But hey, look at. We got to get this job done, and that's that. There's nothing else to talk about. Once we get to that point, then you're on your own, and we'll be advisors.
Well, my last thought, John, is to delegate as much as you can, and you've got a lot of people who are interested, like Dave Scheid down there in Michigan. He was just speaking before. There seems to be there's a lot of people that perhaps you could delegate some of your workload to and get some of the answers.
Well, I am trying to delegate as much as I can. But I want you to understand, I have experience in this in the past, doing some things on a national level. And let me tell you something, infiltrators are all over the place. I'm listening real hard for the devil. I'm always listening. I can't tell you how many people are sitting on my shoulder whispering into my ear, and I know they're the enemy. Want me to do this? Want me to go over here? What you doing? Come on, let's go over here. Come on. Hey. You know, and it's hard to figure out who's who after a while. And as time goes on, I do figure certain people. We have people in California to work very close with us. We have people down in Florida working close to us. We've developed a relationship in Tennessee with people working close to us. Of course, we've got a lot of people in New York working close to us. We've got to know these people. We've got to trust these people, and things are going well. But every once in a while, you get someone who comes on, and then they start to take you down the Looney Tune lane, and you're running into problems. You know?
Thank you, John. Thank you for everything you're doing.
All right.
I'll sign off for the
okay,
next
Okay, I guess we'll take the next caller. But we're doing the best we can, and I'd love to give a lot more work away, believe me. But I got to be careful. Yeah.
I just want to let you know the chat site never stopped working. It's up. There's probably, I don't know, 40, 50 people in there. What happens is it gets busy, and when a new person comes in, it doesn't let you in right away.
Right.
That's all. So they're still in there. They're still chatting. There's still a bunch of people. I don't know. You know, mine says 30-something, but there's even more than that. All right.
Okay. Next question, next person, comment, Cassie. Cassie. Go ahead, Cassie. You got the mic. Cassie, are you there? Well, it sounds like you got a broken mic. I hear scratching like...
Sounds terrible.
It sounds like they're trying to get the mic going, but I just hear scratches. One last time, if you can't get the mic going, we got to move on. I don't know. Maybe you need a new mic, but we're not getting anything. Okay, next caller. Sorry, Cassie. Next caller, 231-937.
Yes, hello. My name is Andy from Michigan.
How you doing, Andy?
Real good. I've got a question regarding your file on demand. The other page document.
Right.
You make a statement in there. It says.
Well, it's a bill. It's a true bill. The file on demand is a cover sheet to alert the clerk to file or they go to jail.
Right. Right. I realize that. The question I have is, the instrument uses 18 U.S.C. sections 15.
We really can't hear the caller, John.
Yeah, you're gonna have
to speak up louder.
Can you turn your mic up or get closer to your mic? One or the other.
All right. I'll speak up a little louder. Is that better?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. Yeah, your instrument uses 18 U.S.C. section 1512 and 2071 and 2076 as being the law of the land.
Huh?
Yet I have an issue with that. I says, well, I'm looking at it, yet the law of the land by necessity should be the laws which originate under the state constitution. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely not. No. Not at all.
Okay. Question is how does 18 U.S.C., which is a U.S. corporate law, how does it become the law?
Well,
of
it's not corporate law. It may be looked at because the corporation is involved because they really destroyed us. But nevertheless, it is Congress. Congress has two roles. The people think that they're there to serve them when they're really there to serve the corporation.
Well,
and
yeah.
The fraud is so deep that even these congressmen and senators don't even know about it. Okay, some of them figured it out, of course.
True.
But here it is. It's Article 6, and this is the contract that every state signed in on. Okay, this is Article 6 of the Constitution for the United States of America. And in Article 6, paragraph 2, it says, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuant thereof." Now remember, the laws were made in pursuant of this Constitution. In other words, Article 1, we the people, ordained and established certain things that they could make laws for. There were 18 or 19 actual powers that we gave to Congress to make laws. And this, of course, is one of them, to write these laws.
Right.
Now, and that's why 18 and 42, they're all the laws. But let me finish
this. I have a question on we the people.
Let me just finish this paragraph, and then you can
then
you can speak, okay? Which shall be made pursuant in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the constitutions or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. So you see, There are a lot of stuff in state constitutions that's repugnant to the Constitution for the United States of America. There are a lot of laws and codes and all kinds of stuff that states counties make these laws and stuff and rules and stuff that's repugnant to the Constitution. They're null and void. They're as if they never came into being. And when someone gets put in jail or gets into trouble over these things, that's a violation against their unalienable rights. It makes a constitutional issue, they can take it to federal court and they can sue them for that.
All right. That's fine. My question is this, is that the term we the people, mm-hmm. it originates from the United States. It says we the people of the United States.
Uh-huh.
All right. They, in order to form a more perfect union, established just us. Now, this was done for the United States of America. So,
no, it wasn't.
Well, yes, it does. It says,
well, hold it.
Let's look. I understand.
I understand.
So
let me stop you there. Hang on one minute. No, because you're building on an error. Hold on. I'm not going to let you go building on an error. Hold on a minute.
I'm not.
Your words are coming out kind of right, but you have a different twist to where it's coming from.
Wait a minute. You have to understand that the United States. We the people are from the United States.
Right, small u, capital S.
It doesn't say that.
No, that's what it means.
No, it doesn't say. No, it.
Right.
No, it. No, I, no
I'm going to correct
mean.
You, so you're going to have to be quiet while I correct you, and then we can talk about it, okay?
Well,
if you go into the Declaration of Independence and you read it there, it talks a small u and a big S when they say the 13 United States.
Oh, yes, but the Declaration of Independence was wrong.
Okay, I'll unmute you when I'm done, okay? When you go into the Declaration of Independence, which was the beginning of our nation, ultimately, it is declaring our independence, and we're on our way to become a United States. But each state was sovereign unto its own. We never lost our sovereignty. Every state is still sovereign. Now, when you go into the Declaration of Independence, it was put in a way where it says these 13 small u, United States. Now, when you read in the Constitution, because it doesn't say 13, and they probably didn't say that because they knew more states would come into the Union eventually, but in any event, they used it. It became a proper name, a proper noun, because it was now the United States. But the United States is not the federal government. The United States are all these states united. The contract is for the states. All 13 states in that day signed the contract, and that contract was this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, of America brings it to the continent, and that's the key thing here, the United States of America. Now, America is the continent. The United States are the individual states. In that day, it was 13. Today, it's 50. And any state that signs into that contract, that's the law of the land, and it supersedes every and all constitutions in every state and every law that they can possibly create. If it is repugnant to the Constitution, it's null and void. If it's repugnant to the Bill of Rights, it's null and void. And the Bill of Rights lays out pretty precisely, it gives us some, they did a great job on those 10 amendments. They did such a great job that it really has protected us from them taking this Constitution down the wrong road. The problem is we lost our way, we fell asleep, and we didn't, wasn't paying attention. Now we're waking up, and we're going to bring it back and bring them back under the law of the land. So that's how it works. Now, I'll unmute your mic now that I got that out. But we have to be clear on the meaning of the United States.
Okay. I can see where you're going with that. But I don't believe that the United States codes would be applicable within Michigan or any Ohio or whatever, because there are acts of Congress have limitations to where they can be applied. And all of a sudden now, all these codes suddenly have authority within the state where it supersedes the constitution of any particular state, which really denies the supreme authority and sovereignty of the state. It doesn't make sense.
Well, no, it does. Look at. First of all, you got to understand the state has eclipsed sovereignty. Okay, it's the people that are really sovereign. And we have entrusted certain other people who we hired to do a job, and unfortunately they don't do the job very well. And they've created a lot of laws that are contrary to the Constitution. Now, you are kind of right, and I used to disagree with the part of the position you're bringing up right now, because these judges have they must obey. When they don't obey, by obeying means they stay away from it, okay? By obeying means when you say you don't have the authority over me because you're working in a court that's contrary to the court that the Constitution has set forth, which is a court of law, and it's a common law, okay, which is a court of record. I know here in New York we even have in our Constitution that all courts are courts of record. So that makes it a common law court, yet they don't operate that way. The moment they step out of bounds, outside of their authority, that very moment, they have violated my inalienable rights, and at that point I agree with you. There's nothing they can do there. So that's why I understand now I move directly to the federal court, because that's where it belongs right now. When they don't have the authority to rule anymore on that case because they violated my unalienable rights, and I'm now going to sue them, and they're incapable of hearing that case, and now it just became a federal issue. It became a federal case, and I'm going to take it to the federal court. And I'm going to punish those people because they're either going to go to jail and they're going to pay big fines. Forget the fine. They're going to pay big restitution for violating my unalienable rights. I charge $50,000 per incident, by the way. That's what they're going to pay. The lawyer's going to pay it on the other side because he conspired with the judge to take me off into a foreign court. Has nothing to do with the Constitution. This is a court of law that I'm in. I walk in there. I'm one of the people of New York, and in this court of record, I'm suing. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to put him in jail, too. I'm going to get him under U.S. 42 and 18 and do whatever has got to be done because they shouldn't have violated my rights.
Okay. I agree with that. And I hear it. Title 28, Section 636, says that the judge is supposed to advise the parties that they are free to withhold consent without adverse substantive consequences. Rules of court for reference of civil matters to the magistrate shall include procedure to protect the voluntariness of parties' consent. Now, this comes out of...
Did you just see that you said the word magistrate there?
Okay, correct. Right.
Okay. Well, you do understand that a magistrate, even though when a judge is a judge and he's a magistrate, that means he can hear cases in both equity and law.
Absolutely.
Today, there's nobody hearing cases in law. The magistrates can only hear cases in law. They can't hear cases in equity. Because I'm using this as an opportunity to explain to others also. You see, a magistrate cannot go into a court of equity because he's not a jurist. He hasn't studied the law to be a jurist, okay? And he's a special kind of a jurist. He's a single jurist, one jurist. That one judge gets to decide what takes place in that court. And we go into that court and we entrust that individual to do the right thing. And that person is bound by Article 6, Paragraph 2, that all judges must obey. Not most judges, not some judges. It's not that it'd be nice if they did obey. No, all judges must obey. And what is it they must obey? This contract. They can't go outside the boundaries of this contract. Now, the moment they do, it is true they can no longer hear the case because I'm taking them up line because now it become a constitutional issue and only the United States Supreme Court can hear that case. Ultimately, it's the federal courts, which is the lesser courts. And you read in Article 3, Section 1, that the judicial powers of the United States is invested in one Supreme Court and such inferior courts as Congress from time to time will ordain and establish by our authority. And then in Section 2, it talks about the judicial powers extending into all cases of law and equity that arises under this Constitution. So the moment they violate anything in this Constitution by using their Constitution, by using their law, their rules, they violate me, it now becomes an issue right here. It becomes a constitutional issue, and it can only be heard in a federal court at that point.
Okay, here it is. A federal court will operate. And when a party stands in front of a federal court, let's just say one is hauled into the court and is the defendant, according to what I'm just reading here, is the party has a right not to consent and under 636 and under 1602 to 1605, you have a right not to waive immunity. So because this all this is corporate corporate law. And what I see it happen is we're not making a distinction between the corporate law, which doesn't have jurisdiction over the sovereign man.
How long have you been listening to us? How long have you been listening to us?
How long have I been listening to this? To you?
To us, yeah.
Or just the last 2 hours.
Okay, so you don't know our positions on this. We absolutely understand exactly what you're talking about. We know that there's a corporation. We know that they've overlaid it. They've changed New York State to the state of New York. They created a corporation. They've incorporated every town, village,
okay.
County. But what
all
we
right.
do is we don't pay any attention. We ignore their fiction because they're a fiction. They have no authority.
Okay.
They have no right. And there's nothing they can do. And the whole
right.
thing is a fraud from state
fraud.
Day one.
Absolutely.
And
now
that's
the lady,
our position
right.
through the whole, this whole thing. That is exactly
right.
our position. We don't argue with anybody about standing. You know, you go into a court and you argue standing, you're in the wrong court. Get out of that court. Because
okay.
when you go into the right court, as long as you got blood pumping through your veins, you got standing. The corporations
okay,
yep. don't have standing there.
Right,
but
right.
you see,
now,
the problem is that the Article 3, Section 2 says right here in Section 2, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. That's the key. That's the two courts that are there. They've moved everything into equity, and they've changed equity into chancery. And chancery, you got a king there, and they have all these crazy statutes and stuff that they apply upon you on the chancery court. And the chancellor can say, we'll do this today instead of that because I'm king and I can do whatever I want and nobody knows.
Right.
Yeah.
But except the person who knows, he can stand in front of that court and say, I don't consent. Without adverse substantive consequences. Now, the lady
and you're wrong.
She's
you're right.
out of it. She could be out
right.
of it.
You are right and you're wrong.
You go into court and
you
don't
consent. But by saying that you don't consent isn't sufficient enough, what you need to say is that
I found it does.
This is not the jurisdiction.
No, listen, I was in court. I used that
in court. That's fine, so have I. I've been there a couple of times.
And the judge, then the judge shut his mouth.
Well, that's fine.
I found it
works.
That's fine.
You were lucky to get someone that responded right, but that's rare. Let me tell you, because usually they throw you in jail, and I see a lot of people going to jail, and especially when they don't know what to do. But here is the point. Here is the point, okay? It's not a matter of consenting, although that is the main thing. Once you consent, but you see, even the consenting is a fraud. When you discover it's a fraud, you can take it all back, okay? They're not acknowledging that. They don't realize that, but that's the fact under common law. You could take it all back, say, hey, look, you defrauded me. I didn't know that you were doing this. I had nothing to do with this. And they got to pay for all of it. There's a lot of people been damaged seriously,
right.
and they're going to have to pay.
Here's the bottom line.
When you go into the court, excuse me, Your Honor, what jurisdiction am I in? Because I know what jurisdiction I opened up, and the jurisdiction says right here that this is a court of record, and right over here it says a court of record proceeds according to the common law, and I'm here now at a hearing, and in common law there's no such thing as a hearing. What are we doing here? You don't have the authority, the ability to make any decisions in this court case whatsoever. You've got here, right here, this gives the subject matter jurisdiction. This court case is prima facie because it has an affidavit. I have a complaint here. You're not a complaint, it's an affidavit. I have an action here. I've laid out the court. Now you and him are conspiring to take me out into a foreign court. That's their court of equity that they turned into chancery court. You have conspired to take me into a foreign court. I object to this whole thing. I object to this process. I object to the procedure. And we need to get back
thing.
Over to the right side of the court. Now, they're not going to do that, and then you go. Then you leave, and you go home, and you write yourself you write an affidavit of what took place. You do a writ of error. You rescind everything the judge said in there. You bring it back into order. You add the judge and that lawyer, or all the lawyers in that courtroom. You add them all over to the defendant's list. You sue them right in that court. Then you move it into the federal court if you're not in the federal court.
All right, look, I did this. What I did is I went into court. And I read this cite to the judge, and I said, according to your own law, sir, you have to give me heads up on whether or not I have a right to consent or not consent. And on top of it, I says, I don't consent, and I don't consent, and it's also based on having no substantive, no adverse substantive consequences. So you can't adjudicate the matter against me by your own law, sir. I'm not saying this. I said your law says that. And that held him accountable for his own laws, and he shut his mouth.
Well, he understood. You were lucky.
Wait a minute. No, I'm not lucky. Listen, I've heard people getting in trouble because all they said was, I don't consent.
How many court cases have you been involved?
But listen, they did not hold the court accountable to the law. When I held the court accountable to that law, he shut his mouth.
How many court cases have you been involved with?
About three or
four. One, two, three? Okay. I've been involved with scores. That score is 20. I've been involved with scores. I've written so many cases, I have no clue on how many I've written. And I'm telling you, I watch what happened to people, and I'm telling you, you're lucky. There's people on this call. Matter of fact, the next caller is going to say, I'm going to ask the callers to let, if from their own experience, if you're lucky or not lucky, what they think. You're going to hear people, person after person, say, yeah, he was lucky. Yeah, he was lucky. Yeah, he was lucky. That's what you're going to hear all night long if people respond that way. You just don't realize it. You were lucky.
John.
It's like Thornton said.
John,
there's nothing as frightful as ignorance and action.
Yeah, Rick.
Yes. There's one of the biggest guys in the Sovereign Movement. He goes by the name of Chris from the Fleming family. Mm-hmm. And he knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. He can go in there and rattle it off left and right. Okay? He's been jailed more times than I got fingers and toes. Okay? Mm-hmm. They a lot of times they don't buy it, and they'll hold you in contempt. And he's been beaten by cops. It's all a matter of do you want to go for the fight? Are you willing to fight?
That's the key.
And this guy knows his stuff, man. If I brought him on your show some night, on a Thursday night, and he called in and he talked, he rattles it off as fast as that guy, Kyle Miller, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's got the buzz cut. He's a young kid, and the judges look at him like he's a punk, and they hold him in contempt, or the cops beat him up, and it's not always the wording and legality. These people break the law, man. They're criminals. And that's why you're trying to hold them to their feet to the fire, because what they're doing is not lawful.
Correct. Right. That's what I would hope to do. That's what I did. And I did it in such a way that I asked the judge, sir, your own law says this and this and this. And when I quoted that to him, he just shut right up. It wasn't like I was being antagonistic. I was bringing him face to face with his duty. And all of a sudden,
you were lucky to get a judge that understood and was responsive in that way, because most of them are arrogant. They'll get angry with you, and they'll want to put you in jail.
Contempt. That's all they got to say. You know what? You're not answering my questions. That's it. Contempt.
Listen, take
that man away. Contempt.
You say another word,
I'll hold you for 60 days. One more word, 60 days. Bailiff, take this man into custody.
Who was it that the judge said something like that, and then he went back with a question to understand what he said?
It was funny.
Ryan. I don't remember. Who was that? Was that Ryan?
Ryan.
Okay.
Do you remember what that was? Because that was funny.
Hey, fellas, I got to add this shit to it. I also mentioned, I brought up the law, which says, this is Title 28, 1602 to 1605. It says, I have a right not to waive immunity from this court. I says, your own law says it. Then I was talking a little bit further, then he stopped me, and then he says, Mr. Alec, he says, I believe that this site has to do with states. And I said, yes, I more as the state is defined, I says, I more than qualify. And he shut his mouth. Why? Because in international law, a person is a state. And what we don't understand
is...
Well,
that's
that. So
fiction,
we are,
though.
Wait a minute, fiction, but it is my proper lawful person.
Right, but I'm just telling you that...
There's a lawful person and there's an artificial person.
Right, I understand what you're saying, but you see what we're teaching here and what we're doing is we don't acknowledge the fiction. We acknowledge the fact that the fiction is there and it's a fraud, but it is not reality and it's not part of our reality. If we do happen to use the word person, we're not using it in the way that they would want to see it used. That's one of the reasons why we use the word people.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. People are from the United States. I look at it as what the person has two hats. We have a corporate person, a corporate legal person, and I have my own person, which is my property. My name is my person.
Again, you know, now we're going to get into some of the fiction, and we don't acknowledge the fiction. But let me just say this. This is not a program for discussing law, but we do have a Thursday night program, and if you want to get into some more conversations like this on this issue, why don't you bring it there? Because we got 20 minutes left, and we got a lot of people left, and we're closing down. When the radio program closes down, we're phasing out. So we're on a time schedule. We start at the right time, and we're going to end at the right time. And so we do want to get other callers in, but I'd like to discuss this further with you. And Thursday night, 9 o'clock, right here.
Well, I'd like to send you some stuff that I write on this stuff. I don't know if you'd be interested in reading it, but to me, some of the things in your article, I don't think I see.
Why don't you look at it and bring it up, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
On Thursday, because Thursday's law night.
Well, I've got it
and
from
right
me
here. This is more involved with where we're at when NLA is doing questions and answers on that, and a little bit on, of course, the case that we're doing to some degree. But the big deep issues we need to bring in on Thursday. Okay.
Sounds good. Yep.
Thanks. What was your first name again? What state you're from?
Michigan.
Okay, and your first name?
Andrew.
Okay, Andrew. I'll talk to you later then. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, 559-361. We got to move. Gerard, you're not doing your job, Gerard. What's wrong with you?
I tried to stop you three times. You wouldn't listen.
Well, come on. Push me along.
John, this is Jerry. How are you?
How you doing? Who's this?
My name is Jerry. I'm from just up near Rochester.
Hey, how you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing pretty good. Three points I'd like to make, and I'll keep them as short as possible, and that way you can end it when you want. The
yeah,
first
boy, that
point
was
that
quick. Next caller now. ahead.
The first point is some years ago when the dishonorable Alberto Gonzalez was the Attorney General, he was talking about habeas corpus, and his contention was that no place is habeas corpus mentioned as a right or a privilege, that the only mention of it is that it shall not be suspended. And on that basis, he put forth to whoever, probably the rest of the attorneys general in the United States, that there was no such thing as habeas corpus. And I wouldn't be surprised, but what that statement from him is what they're using in the judiciary to deny the habeas
right.
that have
but
you been
gotta understand,
filed.
You got to understand that he has probably never looked at Black's Law Dictionary, anything probably earlier than 6. And, you know, you go into 4th, for instance, and you'll see habeas corpus and you'll understand the meaning. He probably also never looked into common law to understand where habeas corpus comes from. Habeas corpus is something that the king, it comes from the king, it's a writ of the king. It comes from the king's bench, and we the people are the king. Remember, you know, that's the great American experiment, and so we have the right of habeas corpus. So the guy's really, he's either a moron or he really is working to destroy the rights of the people because he wants to rule us. You know, and he's probably
a
tyrant.
I premised his title with dishonorable.
Yes, he's a tyrant.
That's what he was. The next two points are both on the same subject matter. The idea of the indictments, you've indicted or there has been indicted by common law grand juries, I believe, several New York Supreme Court justices. Is that true?
14 Supreme Court judges, 8 of which are the executive level of New York State. They're the guys that's supposed to, and women who are supposed to make sure that these people are honorable, that the law is being kept, and courts of justice. And we've reported to them, and they refuse to do their job. And then they've tried to keep us out of their courts, so we've indicted, we ended up indicted all 8 of them, but a total of, I believe, 14 judges and 2 clerks, and we filed it into the federal courts, And they just played a little bit of a game on us, and now we're going to straighten them out this week with more paperwork to reestablish that issue again with 50 states instead of one.
My concern is that with the indictments in place, the fact that there have been no arrests, and the longer time goes on, they're going to look at these indictments as though
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you got to understand, you know, we're moving a lot faster than they ever would. And it is true. We wanted to respond August. Yeah, I know that. We wanted to respond August 1st, but we didn't get it out till the 25th. And we're glad that that waited because we made some changes that were big, and we also decided to do a few other little twists to it, and it worked out well. Now, they see, that's the paper. That's the big – this is not – you know, we've been putting shots across the bow, so to speak. And, yeah, they've been tap dancing around this. But now we just set off the nuclear event here now. This is it. I don't see any way for them to get away from what we're doing. And then we're going to bombard them now with all these other papers that we filed. But we're gonna they played a game that they were able to get away with, at least in their own mind. And we called it for the fraud and what it is. But they think they have an argument. And that's fine. You know what? Just at the time that they made that argument, We then finally formulated the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We got the seal just at the same time they did that game. And, okay, you did that game fine. Now let's see what you're going to do when it comes in under the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury seal, because it's no longer the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury seal. Now we're going to file it not only in that court, but we're going to file it in every federal court across the nation. That's the new way to do this, is we're going to hit – there's 90 district courts, by the way. I think I said 91 earlier. So we're going to file it in 90 district courts. Let's see what they're going to do with that. And on top of that – and we're doing that because we're going to make the point that there's a conspiracy here in New York, and hopefully there's not a conspiracy throughout the whole nation. Let's see what these people are going to do there. Plus, we have the pressure of Tennessee, with pressure of Florida, and then we have another pressure of a lot of cases coming up that we're collecting for the sole purpose of showing that there is no justice in the courts today, that they've totally shut down the justice system for the people, and they're just operating courts of equity, not even courts of equity, the chancery courts, but they're settling debt. It has nothing to do with us.
Well, I agree with that. The third point that I want to ask you is... in light of the corruption in the state Supreme Courts, do you believe that this action that you're making with the federal courts now, that the federal courts are going to discipline the Supreme Court justices?
They have no choice.
Do they have to do that under Amendment Number 9 and 10?
No, they have no choice but to do that because, you see, these state courts are violating the unalienable rights of every individual living in that state by denying them courts of justice. That's our courts. It's not their courts. They're not the boss. We're the boss. They are magistrates. They are servants. They work for us. They don't get the chance to choose on innocent or guilt. They don't get the chance to tell a jury how to rule on law. They don't get that. Okay, they do that because they're operating in equity courts that are really chancery courts, and that's why they're getting away with it. And we have fallen asleep, and people have no clue about anything with law. And anybody who knows anything about law, you know, they've trained us in lower schools to say, hey, you know, you got to be a lawyer to know law. You got to get a lawyer. You got to get a lawyer. And then they take the lawyers and they brainwash them. And that's why we get lawyers on here from time to time telling us about the law, and they haven't got a clue on what law is. They know what statutes are. They know what diction is. They know what to do to keep people enslaved, because that's the purpose of the Bar Association and the schools that they run, is to enslave people.
Okay, I yield back, and thank you very much for your effort, and keep up the
good
work.
Okay, appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, next call, Gerard. Were you sleeping?
Was I sleeping?
Sarah.
Hey, good evening, John.
And we got like 10 people.
Yes, buddy. I just, Sarah from Florida, I just wanted to bring up some observations. I happened to hear on the radio that one of the 16th district court judges had retired, I guess, this week, and therefore there's a vacancy for his seat. And so I went online to look it up, and there's all kinds of vacancies in the federal district as well as the states. So I suggest that all the state coordinators and organizers, county organizers, take a look at what's going on, because as these papers are going to hit the courts, I'm sure quite a few judges are going to retire rather than try to deal with this. So
well,
I just
maybe so, yeah. So that's
just,
okay. Let them jump their ship, you know. That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to bring that up. The other thing is
we're
going to,
you know what, when we get into authority and power anyway, a lot of those judges are going to be forced into retirement because we're not going to have that many federal cases from the standpoint of the cases that they hear, you know?
Exactly. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is just awareness that as we, you know, focus all of the states into this laser beam of action, focused action, just realize that there is going to be some kind of attempt at blowback and, you know, frustrating people like the woman that was on in regards to her father or other people in processes. What we have to realize is we have to reconnect to our Creator, ask for insight and clarity in our personal situation so that we get added assistance in how to deal with this kind of blowback instead of trying to put it all on John Darish or, you know, MLA. We have to take responsibility for our situation.
Well, that's why we got to do this collectively. That's why the people have got to do it, and we just got to keep moving forward. But anyway, it's like we could just got minutes left. I want to try to get another person in here or two before, because we're going to lose a lot tonight. So
one other sentence is that as much as we stay focused as a collective, we have very big strength. But even while that's going on, people have their personal issues. And therefore, I'm saying ask for clarity so that you can deal with it.
Well, amen. I agree with that. That's why we started off tonight with humility, because from reading my Bible, I come to realize that before honor is humility. And the Lord's telling us you can't have honor without humility. And honor is the main thing we need, so we better start working on humility. And so, you know, sometimes we get some bickering amongst ourselves, and that's only because we're not exercising humility. If we exercise humility, we won't have that bickering. So, but and let me move on to the next caller, because we just got a few minutes left, and we're going to be queued out here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So, okay, thanks for calling. Okay, 221, you got it. Maybe just make a comment. I don't know that we have time to answer a question. We'll get as many comments as we can.
Hello, this is Ed from South Carolina. John, and other people, thank you for doing what you're doing. I just signed up. I just wanted to let you know that. Also, I wanted to let this note for the recording. The internet kicked me off. I saw some other people dropping out from the chat room before me, so I think maybe the internet has caused outages throughout the country. For the ones I was watching were in Tennessee.
Right.
There were several things.
We do get these problems from time to time. This is a recorded program, and you can listen to the rest of it, you know, or parts you missed later. It's on the Monday night page, which I think we're going to change that to a weekly call page, because we have 3 days. It's not just a Monday anymore.
Right, yeah. And that's fantastic.
Calls.
Anyway, I'm calling from South Carolina. Just signed up, and I saw some people. I'm going to try to contact some people from either Pickens County or Spartanburg County. I'm in Anderson County. And I'm going to sign off now. Thanks a whole bunch for what you're doing. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, next call is 775-673. You got like 60 seconds because we got a few more calls we want to get to.
Okay, I'll be fast. Thank you. Outstanding true bill. Is there any issue with me sending it to the half a dozen deputy sheriffs that were involved in my unlawful arrest?
Send it to anyone you want. Do whatever you want with it. It's up there to be gotten out, so get it out.
Oh, great. And then are you familiar with the crimes of personage and barratry?
Yeah, I am sort of, but what particular are you looking at?
Well, I had just run across something by a Judge Anna Von Reitz or something like that, and she referred to those. They were quite applicable, and just wondered if you were familiar with them.
Okay, if you want, why don't you bring it up on the Thursday night program? We'll study the law there.
Okay. I've sent my affidavit in, and it has, because you had asked me about my use of notary, so in that affidavit it will refer to some of that and perhaps be helpful to you as well. And then I also wanted to find out if, the other thing is, I think it was the other gentleman that was talking about qualifying as a state. And I just wanted to say that we as individual people are United States of being.
Right, we're the people. We are the people that ordained and established this for the state. So we're way, way, way above the state. The only one that's above us is God. You see, we receive our liberty and the law from God, and then we've established what we wanted to establish for our government, which is the states, and we contracted to all of them by the contract, which is the Constitution for the United States of America.
That's right. We derive our power from our Creator.
Right.
And as a united state of being, it's our mind, our body, our soul. And so we are the king, so to speak, or the
absolutely
queen.
We're the bottom line, and we tell them what to do. All right, let me move on. I want to get one more caller in if I can. There's like five or six left, but I'm only going to get one maybe, I think. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Next week I'll try to move faster. Maybe Gerard will do his job. Wireless caller, 585. Wireless caller, 585.
Yes, can you hear me, John?
I can hear you, yeah.
Janice, I was going to ask you about what to do with this case I got. It would take more than a minute to do it. Can I call you back Thursday night?
Come in on Thursday. Thursday is where we discuss cases. Come in the Thursday night program, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here.
Okay, thanks, John. Nice talking to you.
All right, thank you. 716. Okay, got to wrap up. We'll come to the end of our program. Sorry. Go ahead, Rick.
I'd like to thank John. Everybody. Thank you, John. Another great show in the can. Awesome. Love all you people out there fighting for liberty and justice. And we'll see you on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Ask John Common Law Questions. And stay tuned if you'd like to hang out at ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. The BK Factor is up next, and we're going to leave you with this song.